in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A major speech today from President Bush on terrorist suspects and the trials to come.
In his speech in the East Room, President Bush spoke at greater length than ever before about the CIA program of interrogating terror suspects.
This program has helped us to take potential mass murderers off the streets before they were able to kill.
But the CIA program is stalled because interrogators fear that without specific authorization from Congress, they might face charges under the War Crimes Act. President Bush says no torture is involved, but the need is urgent for Congress to approve the program. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
What will Congress do to set rules for military tribunals? They haven't figured that out yet.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where there is some resistance to President Bush's latest proposal for how to try prisoners in the war on terrorism. A group of prominent Republican senators, led by John McCain, who himself was a prisoner of war, have argued the U.S. has got to give basic rights to those captured in battle, not just for their sakes, but ours. And a key point of disagreement is using secret evidence, which the president says may be needed and these senators say must be banned.
Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney has ordered state police and state agencies to do nothing to assist the former president of Iran when he visits this weekend.
In no way is it appropriate for him to be welcomed to Harvard University to speak to us on September 10th on the topic of tolerance.
Romney says Mohammad Khatami oversaw the torture of dissidents and the beginning of Iran's secret nuclear program. Security will be provided by Boston City Police instead. NASA has decided not to try to launch Atlantis tomorrow. At issue, a fuel cell, the heater for which gave an erratic reading. Live now to Kennedy Space Center, CBS News correspondent Peter King.
After an early morning scrub and a day of troubleshooting, long mission management team meetings just finished. NASA has decided not to fly tomorrow. They're going to wait until then to decide about a Friday launch attempt. The issue, can they fly as is, or do they need to roll Atlantis back to install a new fuel cell? And that could delay the flight for several weeks, something NASA's trying to avoid.
How about a safety seat for children in an airplane you can carry in your pocket?
A device that weighs 1 pound, folds up and fits in a little stuff sack that you can put in your pocket, and performs in the sled tests, the dynamic tests we ran, just as well as a car seat.
That's Louise Stahl. She says her CARES harness simply attaches to the airliner's 20G seat. Beats carting in a chunky car seat, and the FAA has approved it now. You don't hear much about men trying to get into women-only clubs and organizations. It does happen, though. In Lynchburg, Virginia, more than 200 women, students, alumni, and faculty are protesting a plan to allow men into Randolph-Macon Women's College. Board of Trustees plans to vote on that on Saturday. Wall Street, the Dow lost 63 points, NASDAQ off nearly 38 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
I'd like a real estate website where I can look at all the listings, not just those of a single company.
I'll know the right house when I see it, but it's frustrating having to go from website to website. I'm wearing out my mouse.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. REMAX listings and our competitors' listings, too. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the right way to stop them is
with Barracuda Network's spam, spyware, and IM firewalls.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
Wouldn't you like to work at the U.S. Mint? I mean, surely you could snag a few crisp hundreds, but maybe not for long.
Despite very tight security at the Bureau of Printing and Engraving, an employee smuggled 21 sheets of $100 bills worth $67,000 out of the Washington, D.C. facility. The worker went to casinos, feeding bills into slot machines, but casino cameras saw there were no serial numbers on the money. FBI agents later found currency sheets rolled up in Christmas wrapping paper in the man's closet.
That's CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis. Scientists say they found some fish in the Potomac River with characteristics both male and female. And in those fish, it's not supposed to happen. So the worry is, if something in the Potomac is doing that to the fish, what's the water doing to the people who drink it? And people do. It is still an open question. They don't know yet what's in the water. It might be so scientifically fascinating. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Libby.
Hail to the chief.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
At the truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of truths.
And give you some idea of what you can look forward to today. We have a guest in the 4 o'clock hour, Calvin Trillin, who is a marvelous writer, really witty. He's written about a lot of different subjects, including food, and he's written for The New Yorker, and he's written for, I don't know, some of the news magazines and for The Nation. And he calls himself a doggerelist. And this is the sequel to his bestseller, Obliviously On He Sails. The book is called A Heck of a Job, More of the Bush Administration in Rhyme. And some of the stuff is very wonderful. So Calvin Trillin joins us in the next hour. Nora Ephron will be joining us in mid-September, I think on the 14th. And her book is scheduled to be number one on the bestseller list, New York Times. And the book is entitled I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. She has been a film director, film writer, I think she, didn't she direct Silkwood? She wrote Heartburn. She was married to Carl Bernstein of Woodward and Bernstein, and who was cheating on her when she was pregnant, and she got that novel Heartburn out of it. So at least she got a pocket full of change from a cheating husband, which is, you know, what many women get is aggravation. But anyway, so she will be joining us, I believe, on September the 14th. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And all calls to Enid Live and to AM 1320 are toll-free. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. I want to... there's so many places to begin today. I hardly know where to start. But let me start locally, and then we'll move on from there. First of all, we got a strike going on, and I want anybody who is involved in the strike or has intimate knowledge of the strike, I really would like to hear from you. But what we have here is county workers. The strike is hitting the county. Nearly 4,000 Sacramento County workers walked off their jobs, and they did it yesterday. Resulting in the biggest labor action the B says the county has seen in decades. Union leaders said that even more joined the strike. The day was marked by noisy picket lines and so on. And the issue is health care. Skyrocketing health insurance costs are the heart of the dispute between Sacramento County and thousands of striking employees, with management insisting workers pick up a bigger share of monthly premiums. Labor leaders suspect the county also wants to cut costs by using a cheaper insurer as a benchmark for premiums. In any event, the way I understand the story is that these county workers have not been paying any insurance costs, and now the county wants the workers to pick up 20% of their premiums. And they're striking over this. If you remember, one of the things we talked about yesterday was Arnold Schwarzenegger, who vetoed the whole idea of a single-payer system in universal health care in California, which Phil Angelides, by the way, has had nothing to say about that. Phil Angelides was, it was like a drive-by moment. He was with Villaraigosa in San Francisco. Listen to this. Do you tell me what this is all about? This is a chronicle covering Phil and Antonio Villaraigosa, who's, of course, the mayor of Los Angeles. And finally, after months and months of sweating out the moment of truth, Villaraigosa endorses Phil. Now, how could there even be a question? They're both Democrats. Except that if Phil wins, and Villaraigosa, it doesn't work well for Villaraigosa, because if he wanted to run for governor, Phil would still be in the chair. If Phil weren't missing in action, and if he actually won the governor's race. So here's what the LA Times or the San Francisco Chronicle is saying, that the endorsement comes at a late hour, and it spotlights Phil's problems, because why should he have had to wait this long to get an endorsement from the mayor of Los Angeles? At the same time, since these two were together and together forever and unity and all the other BS that they always say when they're running, Angelides slammed Schwarzenegger's planned veto of Sheila Kuehl's bill, and that was the one that she carried, SB 840, which would have created a government-run universal health care system. Schwartzy dismissed the proposal as a bureaucratic empire that government is not capable of running. Really? Really? We're capable of running a whole universe here. We're the, what, fifth, sixth, seventh largest economy in the world. We're not capable of running a healthcare system? Please. Yet, now here's what the Chronicle is saying, John Wildermuth and Carla Marinucci. Yet while Angelides backed the concept of universal health care, he again refused to say whether he would have signed Sheila Kuehl's bill, which passed the legislature with strong Democratic support. It's a moot point, Angelides said as he hurried past reporters, because Schwarzenegger did not sign the bill. He wouldn't even address it. He's not the governor. He's hoping to be the governor. He says we should have universal health care, and he's not willing to address it. I think he could get major traction off of this. So he dashes past the reporters, and they nail him, because while Angelides has backed the concept of universal health care, he again refused to say whether he would have signed Sheila Kuehl's bill. Now, if he wouldn't have signed it because he would have liked to have seen other provisions in it, he could have said, I would sign it, except I would like to see provisions A, B, and C included, and they are not included. So that would give him an out. But he won't say anything. He's just doing a flyby past the reporters, and he says it's a moot point since Schwartzy didn't sign it anyway. So he doesn't have to deal with it. I think he's making a huge mistake. One of you called in yesterday to say that if Angelita said, look, I am for universal health care. If I were the governor, I would have signed the bill that Sheila Keel carried, SB 840. I would have signed it right away. I would go for this. Or if I didn't, if there were holes in that bill, here are the ways that I would fill those holes, etc. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Instead, he's saying nothing. He's trying not to deal with it. And you have county workers striking because they're now being asked to spend 20%. They're paying premiums that would, a situation where it's an 80-20 plan, where the employee picks up 20% of the health care costs and the employer picks up 80%. Actually, that's not a bad deal, I think. If you're in the private sector, it seems like it's not a bad deal at all. It used to be a good deal, didn't it? But I think these county workers, from my reading of this, were not paying any health care premiums, and they are striking now. They have a bad precedent in that CalPERS could have put it to health care providers in a way that they chose not to do. I think if CalPERS had put it to health care providers and not required a raise in what retired public sector employees had to pay for their health care, I think maybe the county would have benefited from that. But I'm only speculating. Are any of you involved in this action? Are any of you involved with the union? Any of you want to enlighten us on what's going on? The strike is expected to last from 1 to 4 days. People, Meals on Wheels, you know, people who are senior and elderly, those meals apparently are not being delivered. This strike threatens real estate operations, the recording of documents. Some title companies are warning customers that the strike could delay processing of real estate documents for up to several days. Recording is the final step in certain transactions, so delays in recording would throw the closing of real estate sales off schedule. So there are all kinds of things that could be affected by the strike that we wouldn't normally think about. So, again, if there were a universal health care system in the state of California, I don't think this would be an issue. I don't think they would be striking. I don't think county workers would be striking. And about the figure is given anywhere from 5 to 7 million Californians who at the moment have no health insurance at all would have health insurance. And if you think we're not paying for their lack of health insurance, think again. The ERs have to treat them, and who's paying for that? We're paying for it. One way or another, we are all paying for. And the ER is absolutely the most expensive way to cover somebody's health issues. It's the place you really don't want to go there unless you're, you know, near death's door, because what they'll do is, if you're not near death's door, they're going to triage you. They're going to park you somewhere in a corner while they take the gunshot, you know, the trauma cases, the ambulance comes, unloads, and they're going to take the tougher cases. And if you're not a tough case, they'll park you in the corner. You'll be there for the next, I don't know, 8 or 10 hours, maybe. They'll forget you're there until they hear you wheezing in the corner there, gasping for air, gasping for attention. And then they'll conduct a battery of tests, most of which will undoubtedly be inconclusive, and they're going to send you home with orders to see your doctor if you have one, and a bill that could fund the defense budget of a third world country. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Why don't we have universal health care? I talked to someone who's a Canadian. She said, you know, the system is so reviled by Americans, but she says the Canadian system is a beautiful system, and it works very well for people. And here you have Phil Angelides, who could get some mileage out of the fact that Arnold is showing his true colors. He is going with big insurers, big business. He's going to vote against this. And Phil, when he's asked what he would do, Phil does a drive-by pass the report as well. He says it's a moot point because Arnold's not signing the bill. Where is Phil's brain? I don't get it. 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. Any of you who are involved with the strike, I'd like to hear from you. Let's head over to the phones. Patricia in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, Enid.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to bring up the thing of the universal health care. You know, I currently have Kaiser, And why I think universal health care is important is because I look at, we have a family of four. We pay about $350 a month roughly. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but what happens is every time we see the doctor, it's a $60 copay. Lab work is anywhere from $80 to $200.
Per person is a $60 copay?
Yeah, every time, yeah, even if you pay that monthly, it's a still $60 copay just to see the doctor.
You know, they call that, I think they call that a kind of moral hazard. There's a term for it in the insurance business. I was just reading a piece in the New Yorker about that, where they jack up that copay to keep you from using the service too much.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what they do. And we calculate, Enid, I mean, we only go to the doctor when it's, you know, obviously, like most people, when it's, you know, it's very important, especially with children. And it, our cost per year, $5,000, $6,000 a year. That is the average cost, and other families I talk to.
Are you relatively healthy? Your husband's relatively healthy?
Absolutely, yeah. We have minor things like allergies, asthma during allergy season. That's it. My kids have nothing, no illnesses. So we're paying that low rate because we don't have any major ailments. Imagine a family that has diabetes or has had cancer. I can't imagine how people.
What about somebody? What about somebody who has no insurance whatsoever? And here's the other part of that puzzle. And this a doctor told me this. He said that because the insurance reimbursements are based on a, and I've said this before, based on a percentage of the doctor's fees. What the doctor does is he jacks up his fees, he or she, in order to get a bigger payout from the insurance company. So if you walk in, you without insurance, the one who needs the help most, and you're paying that fee for service, you're paying very often a jacked up fee, an inflated fee.
Absolutely.
The person who's least able to do it.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Well, I thank you very much, Patricia,
thank
for the
you.
Call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. It opens up a line. We have pretty much full lines. Donna in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Donna.
I was wondering why we have two major Democratic races in a row, like for the president last time and now for the governor of California, where we could do some good, and they're rolling over as if they really don't want to win. That's the feeling I get out of Kerry when we were had him up for president, and now from Angelides, like they really don't want to win, like they're just a shill or something.
You know who I really have that feeling about? I have to say, I had that feeling about Al Gore. I had the feeling that he was really conflicted. I don't know why I had that feeling that somehow he was following in the political family footsteps, and that if he had his druthers, and because he'd risen so high, he sort of had to do it, but if he had his druthers, he would do something differently. And it happened that way. But there wasn't, I didn't feel like there was fire in the belly. Kerry, I don't know about Kerry, whether it's not cool to have fire in the belly, whether he rolled too quickly because he had terrible advice from his consultants, I can't say. Angelides is a complete mystery to me. All I've known about him and all I've heard about him is what a gut fighter he is, how feisty he is. He won in a bruising and very expensive primary, only to be missing in action for the first 3 months following the primary.
And for the health care, can you tell me what's going to happen to all the illegal aliens that now flood into our hospitals and use the emergency
room? Actually, I have information about that. They hardly use it. Those reports are apparently overblown. They don't use it.
That's not what I'm seeing locally, and that's not what I'm hearing from friends who work in the hospital.
Not what they've done some studies on it, and I'll dig out the information that I have. But apparently the perception is that they're using ERs hugely, and they're not. They hardly go in because apparently they're afraid of getting caught. And now this whole push to not treat somebody unless you can determine that they're legal is another reason that they stay. Yeah, but what you do have in ERs, and I have a lot of friends who are ER docs, is a lot of ordinary people who don't go to see their doctors, who come in for minor ailments, and that drives ER docs nuts.
Well, when you have universal health care coverage, who is covered? I mean, will illegal aliens get coverage? I mean, what about these mothers that come in?
Wait a minute. Do you want to be covered, Donna? Do you want to be covered?
Well, I think people coming in having babies need to
Do you want to be covered, Donna? Do you want to be covered?
I want them to be covered?
No, do you want to be covered? If there were universal health care, wouldn't you want to be covered?
No, I'm just saying we're not going to kick them out if they're coming in to have a baby.
I'm asking you, Donna from Folsom, would you want to have, universal coverage for you and your family, yourself?
If we have a choice to either have that or pay on our own, sure. You know, whoever we want to have.
Well, you know, the whole idea of the universal, of the single-payer system, it would benefit all of us. We are all paying for all of your friends who are not going to their doctors, and forget illegals. All of your friends who don't go to their doctors and who go to the ER room, Donna, you and I are picking up a really big bill for that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, thank you very much, Enid, on this lovely, what is it, Wednesday? It is, and it's going to be beautiful tonight, maybe a little bit of breeze. Our humidity is at 68%, opposed to 22 yesterday. 63 for the low. We're at 97 here in the River City. In our traffic, it looks like we might have a three-car crash right there, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road, and also coming on northbound 99 and on DeKalb City Freeway by Cal Expo, we have a three-car crash there. Southbound 99, just south of westbound 47th, a two-car, no injury, and a hit-and-run at westbound I-80 just east of Madison Avenue. Another hit-and-run, no injuries, though, at Cole and Manzanita, and a hit-and-run Arden Fair Mall. Now, I know we're the hit-and-run capital of the United States. I'm really sorry for that, but we're seeing that again today, so stay clear. Back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Morning Retort.
1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. The creators of the local alternative cable access programs Media Edge and Sacramento Soapbox present a series of progressive films and documentaries at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Leading off the series will be The Ground Truth on Tuesday, September 19th at 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. This film stunned audiences at the 2006 Sundance and Nantucket Film Festivals. This powerful documentary features exclusive footage of patriotic young Americans who heeded the call for military service in Iraq. Then on Tuesday, October 10th, director Robert Greenwald's new film, Iraq for Sale, will be screened at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Iraq for Sale uncovers the connections between private corporations making a killing in Iraq and the decision makers who allow them to do so. Greenwald's previous films include Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. Admission for each film is $10. More information is at 916-803-3909 or go to wethemedia.tv.
In the world. Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about this county strike, and it is due to insurance issues, health insurance issues, and apparently, from my reading of the reporting on it, the county workers, the deal that's being offered to them is that they pay 20%, an 80-20 split, where the employer picks up 80% and county employees pick up 20%, and I don't think they were picking up anything in the past, and they are striking over this issue. In the meantime, you had Arnold vetoing universal health care in California, which would have absolutely addressed this issue, and then you have Phil, who's being asked, what would you do? You have espoused universal health care. San Francisco Chronicle reporters and others asking him, what would you do? And he says, it's a moot point. He walks by him. It's a moot point because Arnold didn't sign the legislation. I mean, give me a break. Why he could really get some traction off this issue, I think, especially since he's in favor of universal health care for children. Has he also said he was in favor of it for adults? I think the lines are full. When they open up, I'll give you the numbers again. Ken and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you doing, Enid?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Hey, a couple points back. I have several acquaintances that have experienced the Canadian health care service.
Mm-hmm.
And let me start out with, I am totally in favor of universal health care. I want it. I'll help fight for it. But I also want to be honest about it. And the experience in the Canadian health care system is you wait much, much, much longer to get care, and in many cases so long that you don't need it anymore, and the care's not quite...
You're going to have to cite me some real examples of this, because I've been talking to people who are actual Canadians, Ken. You're hearing it 10th hand, and I'm hearing it 10th hand, I guess. But I'm talking to people who have lived in the system, and they say it's a pretty good system. So I guess it probably depends on who you talk to. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320, Jim in Rockford. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, Jim.
Yesterday was my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I'm 61 years old.
Yes.
I'm a self-employed artist crafter.
Yes.
I'm a contributing person to society. I pay my bills. I pay my taxes. I can't afford health insurance. I had to leave it, let it go about 4 years ago. It got too expensive, $400 a month for one person. I had Kaiser.
Kaiser was $400 a month?
Yep.
Oh, my.
We could have, the only thing that's saving me, knock on wood, is I really take good care of myself.
So you're in good health, and that's it.
I eat well, I exercise well, I do all the right stuff, I do so on and so forth. My comment is, we could have universal health care today, and I'll tell you how. And it's because of the right side Republican anti-Clinton group. But I read the entire full text of both the first and second draft of Hillary Clinton when she was Clinton's wife.
All right, but tell me, please cut to the chase. We have tons of people on the line, Jim.
The reason those systems could have worked, we could have universal health care in this country today had the right wing not put it down and been so anti-Clinton.
The insurance companies that were hugely threatened by the idea that they would be shunted off to the side. This is an enormous profit center for them. And these are the people driving people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who pretends to be a centrist, but not on issues like this.
The corporations are in the back pocket of the Republican conservatives. You know that.
Of course. Who do you think drives their agenda?
What I'm saying is they pushed it through so that it wouldn't work.
Jim, are you telling me that the corporations were behind this? Is this what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Yes, well then we agree. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. The insurance company, do you remember the last time it came up in California, maybe 10 years ago or so, it was Thelma and Harry, Louise and Harry. It was Louise and Harry, I think, was a whole ad campaign that the insurance companies mounted in order to scare people away from the idea of a universal health care. Linda in Rancho, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Linda.
I just have a question. Can't they override Schwarzenegger's veto like they can at the federal level?
I don't know. That's really a good question. Somebody who's more knowledgeable, please let me know that.
Because I just went to the library and was looking up this subject. The second thing I want to say is I used to be a financial planner, and the insurance companies are the largest supplier of capital in the United States, so I imagine that's what's throwing off the Angelina.
It is the huge insurance companies, and you're saying you think even though Angelides has espoused universal health care, at least he has for children, and according to the Chronicle, they made it sound like he's espoused universal health care for every, you know, universally. Are you saying that he needs those donations from the big insurance companies?
I think that there's some influence that we're not seeing is what I'm saying, because I know the power that they have nationally.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but who knows? Thank you very much, Linda, for the insight. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Marjorie and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm so glad you're on Angelides' case.
Thank you.
It does look strange. It looks to me like we have an awful lot of fifth columnists, that and the DLC all together. And the second point, you mentioned about Kerry and Gore and how these people, we have elected them into offices, and they don't have the right not to take it. They don't have the right not to follow through if they have been elected. And I'm just glad.
Well, so who was elected and they're not following through?
Well, you know, like Kerry, he could have at that time.
He didn't get elected. That's the thing. He only ran. He ran kind of a half-masked, half-hearted campaign.
That's true. But we thought he was elected in Ohio, and he could have checked it right then and there.
Well, he could have contested it.
That's it. See, if he thought that he was elected, he didn't have a right to cave. That's what I'm saying. And Gore too. Obviously, Gore was elected.
Well, they both caved, interestingly enough. All right, I get the point. Marjorie, I thank you for the call. You know, here's a story. There's a book that you might want to look at, and I forget the title of it, but the author is Kramer, something Ben Kramer. I forget his first name. It's along the lines of The Road to the White House. It's a very thick book, and it is a fascinating book. And he also wrote a biography of Joe DiMaggio. I'll think of his name. Let's look him up. Maybe, Lauren, let's look it up, the book. I have read that book. It is the most insightful treatment I have ever seen on what it takes to run for presidency. And once you read it, you would wonder why anyone would do it. I mean, it's inhuman. So to go through that immensely inhuman process to run for the presidency of the United States and not contest the vote, the count afterward, not even to make a show of contesting it, is to me amazing. 349-1320. Mary in Vacaville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Oh, hi, Enid. Yeah, thanks for bringing up this topic. I heard you mention Canada, and I'm glad you didn't go with the usual simplification of that message, because I lived in Canada for more than 10 years, and now I've been here for at least twice that long.
All right, how was the system in Canada?
Well, I just don't agree with all the you could cite people who are disappointed on both sides of the border, but the things that are cited in the north of the border do not strike me as so serious. I mean, you could always find one thing, but all I could say is that I found it much better up there, and we could just walk in any time, and be taken care of, and I think the prevention of more complicated.
Here's what Paul Krugman is saying. There's no push for prevention because doctors make money when you're sick.
Right.
That's number one. Isn't that a sad story? Number two, is the healthcare so fabulous here? Doctors are leaving in droves because medical decisions are now being made by 19-year-old high school graduates who are clerks in the insurance companies.
Yes.
They are deciding your medical treatment, whether or not your insurance is going to pay for this or that. So a lot of doctors are leaving, and if you are new in town and you're trying to get on with a doctor, it's not and a good one. Not all doctors are created equally. A good doctor, you're going to have your work cut out for you because the remaining docs' practices are very likely full.
Yeah, thanks for bringing all that up. You know, that's a great point.
Thank you very much, Mary. And so is everybody thrilled with the quality of health care as it is right now? Why don't we try universal health care, a single-payer system? At least more of us can afford it. If we're going to have bad health care, let it be for everybody. Lynn in Woodland, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, am I on now?
You are. Welcome.
There's a comment here, Arnold. You know, vetoing the health care.
Yes.
It still sticks in my craw that Susan Kennedy is molding that guy to be reelected. That bothers me, but
she's molding him. But you got a lot of dummies who are going for it, and they are going to vote for him.
I know there are a bunch of dummies, but
I think when you see his position on universal health care, I think it really reveals what you have here and who he will revert to being the moment the election is over, and he has seduced you out of both your virginity and your vote.
That's what my point is. As Harry Truman, the Idol of My Life, said, those Republicans can throw a blanket over the elephant and try to hide him, but the ass end always sticks out.
Thank you very much, Lynn. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, our traffic is slowing down a little bit as we're reaching about 340 here. 99 southbound on the right-hand side, we have a three-car crash. Now, due to a disabled vehicle, our hit and run, no injuries, is right above that. On northbound Cap City Freeway, by Cal Expo, we have a three-car crash there as well. I-80 and Madison Avenue. Westbound I-80, hit and run, no injuries. Emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Another hit and run, Avenue of Manzanita Avenue. Enid Live continues. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
Hi, I'm Scott Forrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk, Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Freedom cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net.
We need your support.
New rule. No more whining about the French. At least they're standing up to the Bush administration, which is more than I can say for the Democrats. And by the way, it doesn't make me un-American to say I'd rather live in Paris than in places where cheese only comes in individually wrapped slices. New rule. Secretary Ridge, we know you're running this huge Orwellian organization. There's no need to rub our face in it. New rule. No gay fraternities. Apparently there are now dozens of them. Why bother? If you're gay, you already have a much better way of bonding with another man than the chug-a-lug. A dirty show this week, John. Oh, boy.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
.45 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation. We have open lines now, 866-620-61320 or 349-1320. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We are talking about the strike, the county strike, and any of you who are working at the county, or we're working at the county, who are on strike, if you want to call in and let us know some of the details here, we would love to hear from you. But it's over health care issues and the cost of health care. And here you have Arnold, who has looks like he's going to not sign the health care bill, that it has been doomed. He confirmed yesterday that he will veto a bill establishing a state program to provide health insurance for all Californians. So we're all going to pay for it one way or another, and we're going to pay at the highest dollar rate, unless there's a universal system. Paul Krugman, yesterday, and I didn't have a lot of time to go into it, and by the way, the book I was talking about that tells you what it's like to run for presidency is called What It Takes, The Road to the Right House, and the author is Richard Ben Kramer. That's the name of the book that tells you how tough it is to run for president. Anyway, in any event, what we're talking about here is the county strike, the fact that Arnold is going to veto any universal health care bill that comes his way. He says he signaled that, and you have Phil who is advocating universal health care, but when reporters asked him whether he would have signed that bill, he says it's a moot point since Arnold's not going to sign it. So I don't know why he doesn't want to get some traction out of it. In the meantime, you have Paul Krugman, who has written in the New York Times, and he says the big success story is the VA. It used to be in a mess, but now it is in great shape. It's part of its success is its long-term relationship with its clients. Veterans once in the VA system normally stay in for life. Unlike all but a few doctors in private sector, VA doctors have instant access to patients' medical records via a system-wide network, which reduces both costs and medical errors. You also have the VA, which saves money by investing heavily in preventive medicine, an area in which the private sector, which makes money by treating the sick, has shown little interest. It's also the result of a system that achieves higher customer satisfaction in the private sector, higher quality of care by a number of measures, and lower mortality rates. And also the VA uses its huge buying power to negotiate better drug prices. This has been precluded from Medicare. Specifically, Medicare is not able to do that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Susan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi. I was calling about the health insurance and responding to the woman calling from Folsom, and she seemed very insistent in determining whether immigrants or non-citizens would be eligible for this insurance. And I think it's incredibly short-sighted not to realize that many immigrants coming to this country from the Pacific Rim and Mexico come here with very communicable diseases such as TB that could affect her, her family, her community if left untreated. And some of them are very resistant and dangerous. And I think that it is short-sighted to not allow everybody the civilized treatment of health care, whether they are citizens or non-citizens.
You are so right. I couldn't agree with you more. And let me just, from a practical point of view, it is more efficient. It's less expensive for everybody to have it, because the way the system is set up now, it is terribly expensive for people who are uninsured to go into emergency rooms. It costs the rest of us a ton of money.
We could all have,
I think, a better quality of health care, a more consistent quality of health care, and it would be far less expensive than the system right now.
Absolutely. I think a very good analogy is looking at the movie The Electric Car, where GE figured out that they would lose a lot of money if there were a lot of electric cars around, so they didn't let it happen. And I think that the large health insurers would lose a huge amount of money with universal health coverage, and they are calling in every favor they are owed.
Not only that, they do scare tactics, and we are amenable to all these scare tactics. And by the way, there was a study done about scare tactics, because that's what the administration now, as we're getting closer to 9/11, is using and as we're getting closer to the election, are using, and the effects of scare tactics and what it does to us and how it really promotes the terrorists. But scare tactics, it makes us so frightened that we wind up voting against our own self-interest.
Well, I think everybody needs to think about being exposed to TB and other diseases that people are too poor to get treated or too afraid to get treated.
That's right.
And even, let's say...
And there are forms now that are strains that are drug resistant.
Exactly. And let's say that your husband or wife loses a job unexpectedly. Everybody is one paycheck away from losing health care insurance, and you happen to be sitting in an ER with somebody from another country who has an active strain of TB. I mean, it's just really stupid and short-sighted. I mean, all of us could be in that position of not having health care insurance. And to be, cheap and, you know, only A, B, and C people can have it and everyone else...
Well, you wind up hurting yourself. Yeah, exactly right. Susan, I thank you very much bringing this up. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, clear and clear, done and done. It looks that good. Southbound 99, it's back up to about 65. We have northbound by Cap City Freeway and Cal Expo. The accident has been cleared up. There was a three-car crash there. We did have emergency vehicles, but they're back up to about 55 as well. Westbound 50 at southbound Cap City Freeway. Our vehicle on the right-hand side is not slowing anything down. Now, our weather is looking mighty fine as well. 68 for the low. We're going to see highs about 98 coming up tomorrow. And it looks like the humidity was at about 68 earlier. I think we're back down to 20%. I'm not sure how that works. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The future. Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day, and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
so hot today in New York City that naked guy on the subway was screaming, "Who's crazy now?" Hot down in Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney replaced his pacemaker with an ice maker. Is that hot? It's so hot, Christy Brinkley is now dating Ben and Jerry.
Whoa!
It's so hot today, ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that. That's what he said. That's what President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Welcome to Los Angeles, where I believe the official sunscreen is now lead, isn't it, pretty much? Oh, my God, this heat. I was sweating like Naomi Campbell trying to hire a maid. It was so hot today. It was so hot in Hollywood today. Brad and Angelina adopted Ben and Jerry. Did you know that? It was so hot in Encino. Michael Jackson actually stopped at a young boy's lemonade stand and just bought the lemonade. You know the worst part about this heat wave across the country is Al Gore walking around going, "I told you so." Actually, if Al Gore's movie on global warming is correct, as you know, the ice caps are shrinking. You all know about that. The glaciers are shrinking. The only thing not shrinking, Al Gore, apparently. Have you seen Al? Really not shrinking. I tell you, the heat, it puts people in a bad mood. You know, in fact, coming into work today, people were swearing like President Bush near an open mic. It was unbelievable.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
To Enid now.
We can't
keep
talking that way. It frightens the other children.
349-1320.
3:56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation at 349-1320. And we're talking about universal health care, which Arnold is going to veto, he says, and Phil won't comment on. I think he can get a lot of traction. And it is the issue, health insurance is the issue, the most salient issue as to why all these county workers are striking. I guess this is the biggest strike to hit the county in decades, according to the Bee. 349-1320. Jen and Sac, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento. Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
I'm a state worker, and although I do support what the county is doing, to not want to pay 20%
They've been living on, you know what? They've been living on Mars. Everybody else is paying quite a lot.
Exactly, because I'm a single mom. I have one child, and I pay about $780 a month. That's my portion that they take out of my check, and then we have co-pays like the other lady was speaking.
Wait a minute. You are paying that much
out $780 out of my check.
What if you were a single person? What would they take out?
By myself about $500.
Wow.
But the issue is that I wanted to bring up that maybe nobody knows. I met a lady. I was in line for whatever reason. I can't really remember which, and she didn't have insurance, and she had to go to the emergency room because her son had fallen and a spike or something went through his hand, and it was appalling what she told me. Believe it or not, people that don't have insurance that that the hospital will see, they get substandard treatment.
We hear President Bush offer details of the CIA interrogation of the top terrorist suspects in U.S. custody. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
The cancer death rate keeps falling.
This is very good news.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Bowing to the Supreme Court, the Bush administration has changed course in its handling of suspected foreign terrorists. CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller begins our coverage.
5 days before the 9/11 anniversary, President Bush announced that the alleged mastermind of the attacks was one of 14 terrorist suspects released from CIA detention and imprisoned at Guantanamo Bay so they can be put on trial.
Those charged with crimes will be given access to attorneys who will help them prepare their defense, and they will be presumed innocent.
Mr. Bush offered unprecedented details about the CIA program of interrogating terrorist suspects at secret camps overseas. He said it has produced intelligence that helped foil terror plots and saved lives. He insisted no torture is used, but called on Congress to quickly authorize the program and the interrogation techniques it employs. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Correspondent Jim Stewart reports the suspects were secretly flown to Guantanamo on Labor Day and placed in cells away from other inmates.
The 14 include the brain trust of the 9/11 plot. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the man who picked the pilots and targets. Ramzi Ben Al-Sheib, the contact who paid them. And Abu Zubaydah, the equivalent of admissions director for Al-Qaeda's training camps. The group is also responsible for the twin attacks on the U.S. embassies in Africa in 1998 and the suicide boat attack on the USS Cole in 2000.
In an exclusive interview today, correspondent Katie Couric asked President Bush about the decision to transfer the suspects now.
Is this a tacit acknowledgement at all, Mr. President, that the way these detainees were handled early on was wrong?
No, it's not at all. It's a tacit acknowledgement that we're doing smart things to get information to protect the American people. I've said to the people, we don't torture, and we don't.
Now this.
That first cup of coffee in the morning.
A bear hug from one of my kids.
Simple wonders are the little things in life that make a big difference.
Another simple wonder is Bayer aspirin. It's amazing on pain.
And it can help save lives.
Tell Bayer aspirin your simple wonder. Plus, enter for a chance to win up to $10,000. Just go to wonderdrug.com, and your little wonders might just pay off big. No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry information, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 10/31/06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. Feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Cancer deaths are in decline. A report out today says that between 1993 and 2003, overall death rates from cancer among men fell by 1.6% annually. For women, the rate of decline was 0.8%. There is one exception, says lead author Dr. Holly Howe.
The worst one, I would say, would be the thyroid cancer. It is not a real common cancer, so it's not one of the top 10 cancers, common cancers, but we have seen an alarming increase in the last 10 years.
That may be due to better diagnosis. An official at the American Cancer Society credits the overall decline to less smoking, earlier detection, and better treatment. General Motors has been losing sales to Japanese automakers with a better reputation for quality. Today, GM Chairman Rick Wagoner tried to meet the competition head-on by offering a 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty on 2007 models.
The new warranty applies to every nameplate, to all 8 GM divisional brands, to every GM passenger car and truck.
There's no deductible, and the warranty is transferable. 5 years after 9/11, a CBS News New York Times poll finds Americans divided on whether the country is prepared for another terrorist onslaught.
Only 14% of respondents said they feel safer now than before the 9/11 attacks.
I still think that we are at as great a risk as we were 5 years ago.
Most Americans polled feel that way. Fewer Americans think of the attacks every day, but they still influence our behavior. We're flying less. We're feeling nervous.
I guess I pay attention more to what's going on around me. I look at people.
Americans are more pessimistic about the war on terrorism. 21% think the terrorists are winning. Cammy McCormick, CBS News. News, New York.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Every
new rule. If you really want freedom, don't cheapen the word by using it to describe potatoes. Yeah. Ohio Representative Bob Ney found time in what must be a hectic schedule to rename French fries Freedom Fries, leading the French to rename American cheese Bob Ney. New rule. If you are the president, you have to have stuff on your desk. You just do. It makes us feel better. It's just... New rule. Let Tony Blair do the talking. Now, I say this sympathetically. Mr. President, you don't need to be doing the speechifying. You're like the Clint Eastwood character in a Western, the tough guy who doesn't say much. Tony Blair, he's the gay English character actor. Let him come in and lay the pipe. Plus, he's British. It just sounds smarter.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to hour two of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And there are a number of ways you can contact me. Remember, we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and all calls to Enid Live, even from Mars, are toll-free if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, and if you're not, 866-626-1320. And joining me, one of my favorite authors. He is a delight to read, and he's even more delightful when you, if you ever have the chance to meet him or hear him talk or go, when he's on tour, go to a bookstore. His name is Calvin Trillin, and his new book is... I called A Heck of a Job, More of the Bush Administration in Rhyme. His previous book was Obliviously On He Sails. Calvin Trillin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Talk to me about why. Well, first of all, I just have to say, I'm so intimidated by talking to you because you're so witty and you're so much fun to read and you're even more fun to listen to that I can't even think of anything to ask you, except I can think of one thing to ask you, and that is, how did you happen to begin to write in rhyme?
Oh, well, I think it may be genetic. My father did rhymes. My father was a grocer, mainly, throughout his working life. But at one point, he had a restaurant, and at lunchtime every day, he had a rhyming couplet on the menu, mostly about pie. I think his shortest was, "Don't sigh, eat pie." And he had a poem that was, "All right, warden, I'm ready to fry. I've had my last piece of Mrs. Trillin's pie." And I actually dedicated this last poetry book to him, saying that his fondness for rhyme and disdain for meter led him to write couplets like, "Eat your dinner, Mom said to her little son, Roddy. If not, I'll break every bone in your body."
This is, I doubt that there have been very, very many people who have been, how would you describe yourself, a political, well, you know, one of the, you became the, you're the deadline poet for The Nation magazine.
Yes, I'm a deadline poet.
You're a deadline poet. It's been called doggerel, but I'm sure that there's something more elevated that we can call.
No, I don't think so. I think doggerel's probably it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
You've also written for The New Yorker, The New York Times, our competition, National Public Radio. So would you share a poem with us? Do you have your book right handy right there?
Actually, I don't.
But I have your book handy right here.
You have it handy?
I have it right here.
I can share, I mean, the couple of two-line poems that I wrote, I have committed to memory. My memory's good enough for a two-line poem. And I write a lot of two-line poems, or I used to write more than I do now, but because I get paid $100 a poem. And
well, you used to say that you got paid in the high two figures for your poetry.
Paid, for the column, I was offered the high two figures,
mm-hmm,
by the wily and parsimonious Victor S. Navasky, who was then the editor of the Nation, and I turned the negotiations over to my high-powered literary agent, Robert Slowly Lesher, and I said, "Play hardball," and he got him up to 100. So I was offered 100.
Oh,
I mean, I was
the low three figure,
and I was paid 100. And then when I a few weeks after I started, the same wily and parsimonious Victor S. Navasky came to me and said, "What about these quotes?" And I said, "What quotes are those?" And he said, "Did John Foster Dulles really say, 'You can't fool all the people all the time, but you might as well give it your best shot'?" And I said, "Victor, at these rates, you can't expect real quotes." But then he offered me the same thing for a poem, $100, and which I didn't think was much. And then I started investigating how poets are paid in this country, and it's normally by the line, and The New Yorker pays the most, which is $10 a line.
You're kidding.
No,
but wait
no.
a minute. You wrote for The New Yorker. When you do one of their, this is under Sean, when the pieces were interminable
length,
how much would they pay for a piece like that? Give me a ballpark.
They don't pay $10 a line for prose.
Well, that's what I mean. But for a piece like that, you know, give me a ballpark. $5,000, $10,000?
Oh, yeah, for a long piece, sure. But not for a poem. For a poem, if you wrote a poem, which I did, in fact, write a couple of times, a poem that was, say, 50 lines for The New Yorker, you get $500. I mean, you can see why there's not a huge crowd in front of the poetry booth at the Career Day Fair. But anyway, I realized that that if I was being paid $100 a poem, no matter how long the poem was, that if I wrote a two-line poem, I would be the highest-paid poet in the United States. So I started doing that. In fact, Obliviously on E-Sales, the first book, was half of a poem I wrote when George Bush's college transcript was revealed during the 2000 primary campaign, to no apparent effect, which was Obliviously on He Sails with Marks Not Quite As Good As Quails. That's $50 a line.
That's good. I mean, the idea that you could get poetry out of this administration is staggering, and yet you've done it.
Well, they're actually they're good for poetry in a way, and I think that George W. Bush has appointed some people with me in mind. I mean, certainly Alberto Gonzalez is Attorney General. I don't see why else he would be Attorney General, except that Alberto Gonzalez rhymes with loyal Uber Alles. And Condoleezza Rice,
yes,
is a perfect meter for the March of the Siamese Children from The King and I. Condoleezza Rice, cold as ice, is precise with her advice. Yeah, you can sing the whole thing.
I can see where that's going. My guest is Calvin Trillin, and his new book is called A Heck of a Job, More of the Bush Administration in Rhyme. It's you're not going to have them to rhyme around any, to kick around. What was the Nixon line, you're not going to have me to kick around?
You won't have Nixon to kick around anymore. But alas, we did.
Yes, and alas, you did, and certainly the president, I call him Dickie, is termed out. So you won't have him much longer. You're going to have to squeeze as much poetry out of this administration as you possibly can. The only person in America who can get any poetry out of this administration.
Well, I think that they're good for that. They have pretty good names. I mean, although Bush is not a good name. Bush rhymes with tush, but I think that would be disrespectful. So I don't use that.
You don't use that. Is there a poem that I should read of yours that you would like me to read, or will I only mangle it? You are a better reader of your poetry than I.
Well, you could kill a couple of seconds while I go up and get, but you could do a commercial for Powder Milk Biscuits or something.
Okay, we're gonna do that. We're gonna do a commercial. We don't have Powder Milk Biscuits, but we'll do a commercial while you go and get the book.
You
can read from it. And I want to know what else you've got cooking, because one of the things, the way I discovered you originally, Calvin Trillin, was in your writing about food. And when you wrote about, I want to say, was it Arthur Bryant's barbecue joint in Kansas City?
Right.
And I read about
the Shrine.
The Shrine. Is it still good? Is it, or is it just, or have they capitalized on your fine publicity about it?
Well, I think. You know, it's the place I went when I was 14, so I remain loyal no matter what.
Well, I remember reading about I loved reading your food writing, the travels with Alice, the more affecting pieces, the work about your dad, and I love your poetry. And every time I always make it a point, whenever you're appearing in a bookstore anywhere, to come and see you, or where you're talking somewhere, because it's always a wonderful evening. So we're going to put you on hold, Calvin Trillin, and we'll go to a commercial break right now. And when we come back, maybe you'll read from A Heck of a Job.
Right.
More of the Bush administration in rhyme?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have lows tonight right around 68, 69, it's looking like. Our humidity's dropped down a little bit, and if you step outside, you can feel it. It's at about 20%. Tomorrow, right around 97 or 98, 91 here in the River City. And our traffic, like I said, it's looking pretty clear. I'm very impressed after the hit-and-run capital of California we are. We actually have had only a couple of them today, but our traffic is looking good. Southbound 99, I-8 at Madison Avenue is cleared up, and your 50 over top of the mountain is back to normal. Enid Live continues. I'm Lisa West for AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
When you choose a...
New rule. Get the Ashton Kutcher Demi Moore breakup over now. Let's just pretend we've already printed those issues of Us Weekly and People read them and thrown them away. And while we're at it, let's also pretend we've already heard Joe Lieberman drop out. New rule. In an all-volunteer army, there can be no such thing as a conscientious objector. Marine Stephen Funk says he shouldn't have to go to Iraq because he just joined the Marines to, quote, learn new things and meet new people. That's like joining the Beach Boys and then announcing you're not going to play that stupid surf music. We need Saddam Hussein's head. Stop talking about his DNA. Nobody made a movie called Bring Me the DNA of Alfredo Garcia. Traumatized Iraqis need to see the head on a pole in the center of Baghdad, or as it's now called, the Galleria at Halliburton Square.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sims.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beat Severn and MMA legend Boz Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
Buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320.
420 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And my guest is Calvin Trillin and his new book, A Heck of a Job, More of the Bush Administration in Rhyme. Calvin, do you have the book?
I have found the book at my local library.
Would you like to share one of your wonderful witty poems with us? And by the way, our crack producer, Lauren Haley, who is has done a pop art, she's in high school. One of our producers is in high school. And she did a pop art piece and used one of your poems because she's really a wonderful reader and she loves your work as much as the rest of us do. Isn't that amazing?
That's great. I'll wait here for the commission.
Well, it could be in the low two figures.
Right.
Well, which poem are you going to share with us?
Well, here's one about the 9/11 Commission called I Can't Appear Without My Nanny Dick. George W. Bush explains the interview arrangements he has made with the 9/11 Commission.
Okay.
When called upon to testify, I said I was a busy guy, so maybe we could do it on the phone. They really want a face-to-face. I said, okay, if that's the case, I'm certainly not doing it alone. I can't appear without my nanny Dick. For Nanny Dick, I've got a serious Jones. I can't appear without my Nanny Dick. I love the way he cocks his head and drones. Cartoonists show me as a dummy with voice by Cheney or by Rummy. I am the butt of every late-night satirist. But I just can't go solitaire. I need the help that's due in air. I need a dad, and Dad's a multilateralist. I can't appear without my Nanny Dick. He brings along a gravitas I lack. I can't appear without my nanny Dick, the one who knows why we attacked Iraq. Yes, Condi Rice is quite precise with foreign policy advice on who's Afghani and who's Pakistani. I like to have her near in case I just can't place some foreign face. But Condoleezza Rice is not my nanny. I can't appear without my nanny, Dick. I wouldn't know which facts I could convey. I can't appear without my nanny, Dick. It's Nanny Dick who tells me what to say.
So what's going to happen with this? By the way, the tabs are reporting that Condoleezza Rice is not the president's nanny, but that she's the other woman. And Michael Kinsley used to say about the tabs that they are 80% correct. So you have to figure out what's the 80 and what's the 20.
That's the problem. What's the 20? What's the 20%?
Right. What's going to happen with this administration? Since you're an astute political observer,
well,
and you distill it into rhyme, what do you think is going to happen here? Are the polls correct? There's a CNN poll out today that says 55% of us are fed up with are not going to vote. I forget now what the...
Well, the problem for the Democrats is where the 55% is. I mean, since the... I remember writing a column some years ago before the end of the Cold War that the United States House of Representatives had actually a higher rate of return of incumbents than the Soviet presidium.
Really? Well, and then they've gerrymandered it even more so that they're more safe seats. Calvin, we're having a hard time hearing you. Could you speak into the phone and really speak up?
I am talking very loudly now.
Oh, perfect. Okay, there you go. All right. So here's what the CNN poll says today. President Bush's unpopularity due largely to the war in Iraq. And here they're using fear again, which has worked in the last couple of elections. Fear has been their trump card. Is it going to work this time? 55% of the Americans surveyed in the CNN poll said that they would be less likely to vote for a candidate who has supported Bush administration policies. Are you surprised by that figure?
Well, I'm not surprised, but again, we haven't really started the campaign, and I'm sure from what they've been saying in the last couple of weeks that the campaign's going to be based on the idea that if you're against them, you're un-American or unpatriotic or kind of a wuss.
Well, the line that Rove had was cut and run, and then remember that line that if you're a Democrat and you want to pull out of Iraq, you're cutting and running. Cut and run. So then it was revealed last week, you may have been out of town when this was revealed, and this is actually a true story, that the president loves fart jokes. So I thought, you know, this gives cut and run a whole new meaning.
No,
so can
I
you
hadn't heard that.
That is
How did
actually
I miss that?
You missed that, but that is I'm not making that up. That is true story. So you should be able to get a poem out of that.
I've been reading the New York Times, and somehow that was not on the front page.
Was not in the New York Times, but it was in one of the. It was from a credible source, and you know that there is that best-selling book for children called Walter the Farting Dog.
Right.
I'm sure this is the presidential successor to my pet goat that he was reading during 9/11. But anyway, it's a true story. His friend revealed it about him. So cut and run. Well, Calvin, you've got to get a poem out of that, and you have to send it to us.
You'll be the first one. You'll be credited.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
That would be the first credit I ever gave on a poem.
inspired by poem. Okay, you must be working on a poem for when this administration is finally goes down in flames.
No, I only do them week by week. I think, for instance, this week I did one. Wait a minute, I can't remember what I did. I think I did one on. Let me look and see what it is. Oh, it's on Katrina, on George Bush's pledge to the people of New Orleans on the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. It's very short.
Okay.
The feds, he said, will not abandon you. Just what he said last year when they were prone. And he'll return next year to say the same. Until that time, of course, they're on their own.
Oh, sad but true. Calvin Trillin, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. The book is called A Heck of a Job, More of the Bush Administration in Rhyme. What are you working on now?
Well, I'm just finishing the galleys and things to on a book about my wife, which is going to be out in January.
I was really so sorry to hear that, because I read your books, you know, the Alice books, and she died how long ago?
5 years ago.
Wow. Well, and the book will be when? It'll be out when?
The book will be out in January, called About Alice.
About Alice. Well, we'll probably be talking to you in January then.
I hope so.
Calvin Trillin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Edith.
You're welcome. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Actually, I was writing a poem about the streets of Sac. Would you like to hear it?
Is it a traffic poem?
Well, it's kind of, but I didn't finish because you were you caught off with Trillin. But traveling on the streets of Sac, usually the skill they lack. Traveling with eyes closed, the force usually used. Sometimes it's just not, and that's as far as I got.
Oh, you left us hanging. My God, this is
right.
This is trafficitis interruptus.
I like it. You know what? More coming up.
But I know you're not going to leave us hanging with a traffic.
I'm not. Actually, we do have a vehicle that is smack dab in the middle of the roadway, and usually on Ann Street, southbound Cap City Freeway. We get that a lot over there. On Falcon Road and San Juan Avenue, we have a hit and run, no injuries, and another hit and run, causing a collision at eastbound I-80 at Northgate Boulevard. 20% humidity, lows tonight 69, highs tomorrow about 97, we're at 91.
Keeping the metal to the pedal, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Al Frank.
You deserve. Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels.
on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Shaking up the Weasel Empire. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
4:32 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, and then I won't be yours again until Monday, because your goddess is going to be off for a couple of days with her mouth all sewn up, because I'm having this dental work done, and so I'm not going to be able to talk. Well, they said I couldn't talk. I can always talk, but they said so I'll be with you on Monday. So anything that we have to discuss, we have only today to discuss it. And if you're just joining us, you miss Calvin Trillin, and I think he's delightful, and his work is delightful, and it ranges from very serious to very, very fun to read and very witty. He's always, if he's appearing somewhere, here's where you get a great evening for free. And not so much here, although the authors do come to town here, but in the Bay Area, it is always the prime stop on the author tour. And it's worth a trip to places like Book Passage in Corte Madera. They get all these great authors, and it's an evening of wonderfulness, listening to them read, and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to buy anything. They hope that you will, but you're not obligated to buy a book. But if you do, the author will sign it. It's great. And if you have a chance to listen to Calvin Trillin, you'll have a wonderful, you'll be sitting there snorkeling. It'll be so funny. Anyway, we've been talking about health care. We've been talking about the fact, and here's the bee talking, because the county workers are on strike, and it has to do with them having to, the issue is paying more for their health care than they have been paying. The Bee is reporting that Angelita's position on the health care bill that Arnold is saying that he's going to veto is unknown, and why he's not getting traction with this, I don't know. And here is Dan Walters in today's Bee. And I'm asking the question, why is Phil not endorsing this? And Dan Walters is saying that Arnold runs no political risk by vetoing the health care bill. They did some polling. Public Policy Institute of California, in its most recent survey of the state's voters, asked which is the one issue you would most like to hear the gubernatorial candidates talk about before the November 7 election. Which is the one issue you'd really like to hear them talk about? If I were to ask you that question, what would you tell me? What's the one issue you really want to hear them talk about and get some action on? Well, what voters said, and I don't know if you can take this to the bank, but this is what voters said. Immigration, particularly illegal immigration, was the top response. And I don't know if they gave you a bunch of boxes with certain, I don't know how they did this, whether they gave you a bunch of choices and then you checked which box was the most important to you, or whether they let you fill in the blank. But it was the top one, but it was only mentioned by 21% of likely voters questioned, followed by public schools at 18%, jobs and the economy at 9%, the state budget and taxes at budget deficit and taxes at 8%, and the environment at 6%. Only 4% of voters contacted by this polling group cited health insurance coverage, so few that they weren't worth tabulating in the survey's summary. So what Dan Walters is saying is that Arnold doesn't lose a thing by vetoing this legislation, because only 4% of people in this poll indicated that it was of any interest to them at all. Now, some of the numbers we've seen are that 6 or 7 million Californians have no health insurance at all. If you're an employer, I would think that you'd be interested in that whole issue, because it's costing you money. And if you have just been laid off from your job, you might be rethinking. You might be one paycheck away from having no health insurance. You might have health insurance. You know, in that 6 or 7 million where they say that don't have health insurance, how many millions of people are one paycheck away from having no health insurance because they just got laid off, or they just decided they can't afford it? But from the calls we get here at Enid Live, it seems to be a pretty an issue that people are interested in. Now, I don't know whether that's because the population who listens to a show like mine is more politically a more politically aware group of people. Yes, presumably. But I think people are very concerned about health care. It's one of the few safety nets we hoped that the society could provide for us. And if you have a job, I guess you don't think about it, but if you have been long periods without, a lot of people got knocked out of their jobs when the high-tech bubble burst, and suddenly all these things that they took for granted, people who just got out of school and were making six-figure salaries, never had to pound the pavement, just got out of school. 2 seconds later, they had high-paying jobs. They thought that they just could snap their fingers and the universe would jump how high. And then suddenly it all, the balloon, the bubble burst, and not only no six-figure jobs, some of these people are working at places like The Gap. Some of these people who are making a lot of money are doing retail work, working retail, which is not a high-paying proposition, generally speaking. And I'm amazed that only 4% in this poll said that health coverage, health insurance, was of any interest to them at all. Is that because everybody's covered, or is this poll not exactly accurate? How did they answer, ask the questions? So here's what Dan Walters is saying. Dan Walters is saying there's no downside for Don Arnold to veto health care coverage because not that many people are interested. And is that why Phil isn't going to town on it? Because there's not a lot of interest, according to this poll? Perhaps there are other polls. I would guess, just intuitively, that it is a subject of great interest, and particularly as more and more jobs are evaporating, particularly as the housing market goes soft, particularly as the economy gets dicier. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Do you think this poll is an accurate poll? Laura in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Laura.
I didn't call to weigh in on the PPIG poll. I think that generally their data is absolutely spot on, but I'd like to look at what the question was and how it was designed.
Yes, do you think that only 4%, don't you think intuitively that more people are interested in health care? A lot of people don't have it. We've gotten lots of letters.
In my personal and my professional life, I don't know one single person that doesn't have a health care horror story. But what I did call to offer is I'm looking at statistical data from varied interest groups, from KPMG, from Bureau of Labor Statistics, Consumer Price Index, and I think your listeners would be interested to know that between 1989 and 1996, health insurance premiums dropped 43.3%. And if you're wondering why that sudden drop after years of steady incline and getting up into double-digit increases, if you'll recall, Hillary Clinton suggested a single-payer universal health care. And so,
well, Laura, where did those? I haven't personally. I have my situation has been just the opposite. The premiums continue to go up, and the coverage gets more and more truncated.
Well, no, that's current information. The health care insurance premiums dropped because at the mere mention of universal health care, the insurers dropped their rates, so that people would not be interested in...
Oh, you mean at that time?
Yes, but since 1996, they have dramatically increased to the point where they're about as high as they were in 1998 as a percentage of income. And they are continuing to climb at a staggering double-digit rate every year, as people who have health care coverage are probably aware. And so what this tells me is that the health care crisis is not the result of illegal immigration.
It has nothing to do.
It's the result of the greed of the insurance agents. They are averaging up to 30% profit from these premiums.
The insurance, you're talking about the insurance companies, and you are right. There is a tremendous amount of money for them in this, and because their people are getting paid, the top administrative people in these healthcare companies are being paid a fortune, and we're getting squeezed. The people.
And there is no competition. There are now five major healthcare providers in the United States. And that is a dramatic decline.
And all somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Phil Angelides has to do is to say, I'm going to support universal health care, and these insurance companies are going to spend every penny they have to try to defeat it.
The difference between those two candidates is Mr. Angelides is probably sincere about the seriousness of health care reform.
Well, then why won't he take a position?
He has, as a matter of fact, if you look at his website.
No, he blew off a bunch of reporters when they asked him, well, now that Arnold is going to veto it, what's your position? And he blew them off and he said it's moot since he's vetoing it. He should have gotten traction, said, if I am the governor of California, here are the two things I'm going to do. Day one, as commander-in-chief of the California National Guard, I'm going to bring back our sons and daughters because the law allows me to do that if having them there compromises our safety here in California. And number two, I am going to support universal health care. We're going to resurrect that bill. Come to my desk. I'll sign it.
That would show great leadership.
It would show great leadership. And you know what? He's in such a low place. He's got nothing to lose. Laura, thank you so much for the good information. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Patricia in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. You know, I think most of us are in the position where our to maintain our benefits, they pull more, meaning our employers, pull more and more money out of our paychecks. For me, it's $100 more each year now for 4 years. That's taking a huge dent.
Wait, you're paying how much more a year than you were?
It's like, it may not be 100, but it's a significant amount each year more that's going in to pay for my benefits.
You're lucky. And, yeah, you're lucky. It's only $100 a year more.
Exactly, but the 4 years of this, it's really hit home, and I can't help but notice that this is happening on top of, you know, they changed the bankruptcy laws where so many people, you know,
went bankrupt
because of medical.
That's right, and I'll tell you who's really suffering from the change in the bankruptcy laws: the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Their homes have been demolished. And they are paying on homes that no longer exist. They're paying mortgages. They have to continue to pay mortgages for things that no longer exist. And the bankruptcy laws have become so draconian, I guess they're up against a wall.
And what are they supposed to do? I mean, that's outrageous.
In every way, we are getting screwed. And I don't know why people have not taken note of it. Patricia, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. And at some point in my life, I will finish that poem.
sounded pretty good. We can hardly wait.
Well, Marjorie even called up and was, a little shocked maybe that I had it in me.
This is it. Look, you never know.
Well, I'll show you. Anyway, our weather's okay. We have a 20% humidity. It's gone way down from a couple of hours ago. We're at 91 here in the River City, and our traffic at North End I-5 is a little jammed up due to a vehicle on the right-hand side of the road. South End I-5, just south of Arena Boulevard, we have a vehicle in the roadway and a three-car crash at Cap City Freeway just north of American River Bridge. Hit and run, Falcon Road and San Juan Avenue, and that's Look at the Traffic at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
New rule, skip the truck. President Bush is down on the ranch, and we all know what that means. Lots of pictures of him in that pickup truck, as if he's going into town to pick up a bale of hay. Okay, we get it. You're a rancher. You're clearing brush. You're a Washington outsider. You're a huge country fan. Unfortunately, that country is Saudi Arabia. New rule. When somebody dies, we shouldn't cut off their head and drill holes into it. Ted Williams belongs in the hall, not the fridge. Cryogenics is one of those technologies that just doesn't work, like the missile defense shield and hair transplants. New rule. It's just a donut. What is up with the Krispy Kreme phenomenon? It's a glob of deep-fried dough, not Super Bowl tickets. Aren't we Americans fat enough without pretending that donuts are hip?
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already
already have a me in my life. Me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready? New rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
The metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
448 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. This just in, and I don't, we've been looking around all over the place, but we're getting it from Sheila Kuehl's office. Listen to this. The Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed SB 1437, which would simply have extended existing laws prohibiting discrimination on the basis of race, sex, disability, nationality, and religion in textbooks, instructional materials, and school-sponsored activities to include sexual orientation and gender identity. In other words, this bill, which Sheila Kuehl sort of gutted, this is why you never want to, this is, your goddess here wants to give you a little bit of advice that I've given many times before. Never, never, never try to sell yourself out, although politics, I suppose, is a special case, because you lose, and you don't lose once. You always lose twice. Because if you have to pretend to be something you're not in order to keep your job, to get the bill passed, to, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, okay. But then what happens is it never works. And so you've contorted yourself to do something that was never honest in the first place, number one. And number two, it doesn't work. So you have lost twice. You've sold yourself out, and you have lost yourself in the process. So here was SB 1437, and this is the bill that was going to, in teaching instruction, you know, in instructional materials and in textbooks and so on, would have talked about people who who might have been gay and lesbian and who made contributions. For example, they might have mentioned that Cole Porter was gay. Well, he pretended not to be gay, but he was, I guess. In any event, that all that was gutted, and what remained wasn't a whole lot. And it was thought that the reason it was gutted was that it needed to be gutted for Arnold to sign it. Well, Arnold vetoed it. Arnold vetoed this bill. And apparently it surprised a lot of people that he did. So this is what we've gotten from Sheila Kuehl's office, Senator Sheila Kuehl, Zelda, Democrat from Santa Monica, also UCLA, former UCLA law professor. She responded to Schwartz's inexplicable veto of SB 1437, which, as I said, would have simply extended existing laws prohibiting discrimination on the basis of race, sex, disability, nationality, and religion in textbooks, instructional materials, and school-sponsored activities that would have also included sexual orientation and gender identity. Kuehl had deeply amended the bill, Reed gutted that bill, in response to Schwartz's opposition to including positive role models from the gay and lesbian communities in textbooks. Since we amended the bill simply to bar discrimination in official teaching materials, I am extremely disappointed that the governor chose to respond to a small, shrill group of right-wing extremists rather than a fair-minded majority of Californians who support this reasonable measure. Remember now that the governor's chief of staff is a lesbian Democrat named Susan Kennedy. So, And remember that the right wing has not really signed on with Arnold, but he has consolidated about 85% of his base. And he vetoed this, and I think it was expected that he would not veto this. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. It was perhaps the most controversial piece of LGBT legislation in California this year and became the signature bill for fundraising for both the gays and the religious right, and now it is dead. In its original form, it would have sought to change school textbooks and curricula to include representation of LGBT individuals, which was considered too controversial, and it was watered down to simply offer a vague protection against discrimination in the classroom based on sexual orientation. Schwartz vetoed SB 1473 today, but before 1437, actually, it is. They've got it backed up here. 1437. But before the right cheers and the gays jeer, it's clear that he felt that LGBT students were better off with the current protections, which may have been watered down by the new law. That's the argument that he's making. What are your thoughts about that? If you're part of the LGBT community, are you surprised that Arnold vetoed this legislation? 349-1320. Maggie in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Maggie.
You know, I wanted to address this poll. It just, to me, it just doesn't sound accurate, and probably because, you know, perhaps it is, but I think that most people are so clueless as to what lie in wait for them or lay in wait for them should they have an unfortunate accident, like I did at the end of 1999. And under Governor Schwarzenegger, the workers' compensation laws have become absolutely horrific. With the only beneficiary being big insurance, it doesn't help the small business person, and it absolutely screws the injured worker.
All right, so you were injured. Were you injured on the job?
I was.
And did you have insurance?
I did.
And?
And after 6 months, I lost it, but it was the one thing I fought to hang on to, and that money came out of my own pocket, $350 a month. It kept continually going up, services going down, premiums and copays going up. And the workers' compensation laws are just horrific. I think that people who do not realize the importance of health care have always either had it through their parents, their spouse, or their job. But once you are forced to pay for it yourself, and you have an injury that needs to be treated on top of it, and there were complications with my particular case too long to go into, but it's a nightmare.
Wow.
It's a nightmare. And to find yourself, you know, I made $60,000 a year, and all of a sudden, bam.
Well, you were out of a job because of your injury?
Yeah, several surgeries later, and, you know, and it was a freak accident, out of the blue, you know, freak accident, and you just never know when something like that can happen.
Were you able to go back to work eventually?
No, I still haven't gone back to work.
How long has it been?
December 10th, 1999, 6:30 p.m.
Wow. Are you able to work?
No, not yet.
Not really?
Getting closer.
Well, Maggie, we hope you keep at it.
But I would encourage people to really take a look at what could very possibly affect them, and that being health insurance laws and workers' compensation laws. Because if you find yourself caught in either of those systems, particularly the workers' compensation system, you are in for the ride of your life.
Well, we are wishing you all the best, and thank you for giving us a heads up. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. A little bombshell here for your afternoon entertainment. The Kings owner drops a bombshell at a news conference today. Redevelopment of Sacramento's downtown rail yards is a major selling point in the campaign to raise local sales taxes. But guess what? King's owner, one of the Maloofs, Joe Maloof, is preparing voters for another possibility. At a news conference kicking off the campaign for Measures Q and R, a series of speakers spoke of the importance of the new arena to the rail yards development. Proponents say a new downtown arena would spur more than $5 billion in new development, etc. But when Joe Maloof took to the podium, he suggested the possibility that the arena could be built someplace else even if the sales tax measures are adopted. Reading from a prepared statement, he seemed to be indicating the negotiations to build the rail yards are not going well. And I will, you know, I will share some of these observations with you. But here is the King's owner dropping a bombshell. Here are all these people supporting him. You know what? This thing is going to fall apart because every other day there's another twist. And there isn't a great, I don't think there's, I'm guessing, this is intuitive, a lot of ordinary people support for raising the sales tax on themselves for 15 years to pay for a lot of rich people to cavort and to encourage this downtown development, which somehow is not going to materialize, or at least it's questionable whether it is going to materialize. And here's what Joe Malouf says. We share the vision that everybody here has. The future would be fantastic to have a new arena downtown to revitalize the rail yards, but it's not going to be easy. The site has been vacant for decades because it's such a difficult site to develop, and don't forget, it's got to be cleaned up. It's got to be a lot of toxic crud in that site. There are a lot of moving parts, the railroad, the developer, the cleanup, and all the work the city and county have got to get done. We believe it can happen, he says. We believe an arena can help make it happen, but we want to make sure that people are aware that we will do our best. If, for some reason, it can't happen at this site, we may have to consider alternative locations in...
Dramatic disclosures at the White House today as President Bush announced a change in tactics for handling suspected foreign terrorists. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
President Bush reveals 14 top terror suspects, including alleged 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, have been moved from CIA custody to Guantanamo Bay. Mr. Bush demands quick congressional action on a new plan to try terror suspects so that
the man our intelligence officials believe orchestrated the deaths of nearly 3,000 Americans on September the 11th, 2001 can face justice.
Mr. Bush used the announcement to defend the CIA interrogation program, an effort he wants to continue, although officials say no prisoners currently remain in CIA custody. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Some thoughts from CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
This is a bold, striking move. I think it completely changes the legal landscape, the political landscape in this debate over what to do with these detainees. The administration has undercut the arguments, the political arguments, the legal arguments of many of its opponents by doing this, by bringing these men in from the cold, by agreeing to a compromise on the procedures that will be used at their trials.
The new trial procedures have to be approved by Congress. There's trouble this evening at the Navajo Nation in northeastern Arizona. Police spokeswoman Selena Many Children tells us there are six armed people holed up in a high school.
One male with a handgun, five female with knives.
It's not clear whether they're students or adults, but apparently they're not trying to hold hostages.
We received word that they were letting students go one bus at a time.
Police and ambulances have converged on the scene, and the FBI is on the way. Dr. Holly Howe is the lead author of a new report on cancer in this country, and it's encouraging.
Cancer in all populations, all race and ethnic groups and both sexes, is continuing to decline, and this is very good news.
Deaths from cancer have been going down steadily. Experts credit early detection and more effective treatment. There's one notable exception to this trend, an unexplained increase in thyroid cancer deaths. It's been delayed by bad weather. Today, the launch of Space Shuttle Atlantis was called off because of an equipment problem, and program manager Wayne Hale says they won't try again till Friday.
We decided it would be prudent for us to spend another 24 hours looking more closely at the engineering analysis to understand what we've got.
What they've got so far is an erratic reading from a pump used to cool one of the shuttle's three fuel cells. A failure of any one of those cells would cut short the mission to expand the International Space Station. The price of crude oil fell to a five-month low today, $67.50 a barrel. Traders cite several factors, including the end of summer road trips and the repair of a Gulf of Mexico drilling rig that was badly damaged by Hurricane Katrina. On Wall Street, stocks fell. The Dow Industrials down 63 points, the NASDAQ off 37. This is CBS News.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis. We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer. Look for great savings on Claritin in your newspaper this weekend. Use as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
Looking for a way to afford name brand products? Well, I found one. Overstock.com. It's an online outlet, a department store where everything is always on sale. You can save up to 70% on apparel, electronics, and diamond jewelry. You can buy best-selling books priced below Amazon. With an online price guarantee, $2.95 shipping and live operators 24/7. So why shop anywhere else? Overstock.com. It's all about the O.
Next time there's a mouse in the house, don't waste your time with cheddar or Swiss. CBS News correspondent Jim Shenaby explains.
American innovators have spent centuries trying to build a better mousetrap when all they really needed was better bait. According to British researchers, the most popular mouse bait, cheese, is actually a turnoff to the rodents. That's because mice like food that has a high sugar content. Cheese, with its strong smell and rich taste, is actually something a mouse would avoid. So what's the best way to catch mice? Well, sunflower seeds work, so do other grains. But what a mouse really finds irresistible is chocolate. Jim Shenaby, CBS News.
Police in Ontario, Canada say they've never heard this excuse before. A man visiting from Switzerland pulled over for speeding at 100 miles per hour said he couldn't go that fast at home because of goats on the windy, hilly roads, so he was just taking advantage of goat-free driving. In the end, officers got a story to tell, and the man got a $330 ticket. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more are celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Talk to Enid now.
We can't have him talking that way. What if you're children?
349-1320.
Six minutes after five. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We have a lot to discuss, and I am going to be off tomorrow and the next day because I'm having all this dental stuff done, and they won't let me talk. So anyway, I'll be back with you on Monday, which means we only have a couple of hours to tie up all of our loose ends. I want to remind you that September the 14th, Nora Ephron is going to be my guest, and she's got a brand new book. It's going to number one, they told me, New York Times bestseller list, and the title of it is, it's a collection of her essays, I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman, and she's always pretty witty and pretty interesting. So we've been talking about many things today. We've been talking about health care, this new bombshell, the Maloofs, and this in this press conference, the new arena may not be in the rail yards, which is exactly what is being one of the strong points in selling it, that it will somehow redevelop the area, but it sounds like the negotiations aren't doing well. Prison Guard Union has endorsed Phil Angelides. Phil Angelides has not said how he would vote on universal health care. Arnie has vetoed universal health care, and Arnie vetoes the gay education bill, which I think came as a surprise to Sheila Kuehl. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Robert in Vacaville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Robert. Are you there?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hi, is this Enid?
It is. Tell me what's on your mind.
Okay, I was a Sacramento County employee who struck the last 2 days, and we were walking around the building holding up our signs. There was about 3,000 or 4,000 employees came down just right outside the supervisors' chambers.
Uh-huh.
And we were asking for a contract. The main issue on the contract is, in fact, health care.
Are you paying any health care at all now?
Yes, it's an 80-20. I pay 20% of the health care from my employee paycheck.
Okay.
And then the county gives you a subsidy for the 80%.
Okay, so what do they want to raise it to? I thought they wanted to raise it to 20-80.
No, it is 20-80, but with the health care premiums continually going up and not giving us as large a premium, we're going to get the raises we get in terms of the cost of living raises, it was going to get chewed up.
It was going to get chewed up in the health care, and then they were going to go with a company that didn't give you as many benefits?
Right, they were going to go with the cheapest HMO. A lot of people like Kaiser. And Kaiser does have a program where they do preventive medicine care.
Okay.
And the back end of that, which a lot of people, especially Republicans, don't think about, is if people aren't on health care and getting preventive medicine service, what about all the people who end up in the ER room and the cost has to be...
We're in a system where they don't give you a lot of preventive information. First of all, it takes time, and they can't make money at it. They make money when they treat you when you're ill, so...
Sure.
In a way, the system mitigates against the preventive side of it. The VA is very good, though, at preventive medicine, and it has been a very successful system. So you're saying, then, that the premiums, any kind of cost of living raise you have would be gobbled up by the premium increase, and it would be a cheaper kind of insurance situation where you wouldn't get as much as you got, and it would cost you more money to get it.
Right. They want to go with the cheapest plan here.
What's going to happen?
What they did today, they came out at the end of it. They came out and, okay, I'm with UPE, United Professional Employees One, and it's the largest, tech services union in the county.
Uh-huh.
And they said they'd sit down at the table tomorrow at 10 o'clock again.
So
That is the Steve Lakich is the head negotiator. Steve Lakich, in terms of...
What do you think? You think you're going to get something out of this? I think you might.
Well, they're sitting down, but there's always, I talked with some of the union bigwigs, and they said, you know, there's a negotiator in between the two sides, and he tries to smooth both sides over to each other. So there's a lot of contention this time, because the county hasn't had a major strike like this since 1967.
That's right. And what about people, the Meals on Wheels seniors? They're not getting their Meals on Wheels.
I'm not sure about that, but people better start getting concerned about their garbage stacking up.
Wow. So is no garbage being picked up in Sacramento at all?
Not the last couple of days. That's the county. It's not. Remember, this is not the city. It's not Sacramento City, but this is the county, which is different. So the city may be picked up.
Well, there'll be a lot of pressure if the garbage just starts.
The garbage issue usually ends strikes.
Yeah, I was thinking, because it's so smelly.
Yeah.
If we saw how politics, you know, you don't want to see how politics and sausage is made, because there's that same garbage factor. So this is what we got it right here. This would be like being in the middle of the legislature. All right, Robert, I have
one other comment on the Maloof.
Yes?
They were handing out a flyer on that, and...
Wait, they were handing out a what?
There was a flyer about the Maloof. The county's going to fork out $500 million for them, and... Right here it says, the Maloofs put in at most 11% of the arena cost, but keep 100% of the profit from all arena events, concessions, parking, and proceeds from selling the naming rights. This is put out for People United for a Better Sacramento. It's called PUBS.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Tamayo is the president. So why are they forking all this money out to Miss?
Could fork it out for health care. That would be a better option.
Yeah, and why aren't they trying to help? You know, people who need...
They want to help people who are rich. They don't want to help people who really need health care. They want to help people who are rich.
That's right.
I guess.
I agree.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
349-1320, 866-620-61320. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and we stream live 1320leftchannel.com. A new study out, and I think it's apropos, because every time I turn on CNN in the morning, there is Bush giving another impassioned speech, as in the run-up to 9/11. All right, I don't have my calendar here. When is 9/11? Oh, here's a calendar. 9/11 is next Monday. Monday is 9/11. I don't know. I mean, I'm torn. I don't think I want to, I'm not saying celebrate it or mark it as an occasion. I suppose everybody's, you know, it's like Katie Couric. Everybody's going to be all over it. And the point is that nothing has changed. I mean, really, that's the point of 9/11. And we, almost as many lives have been lost in Iraq on our side only as were lost in 9/11. I mean, it's a tragedy compounded by a tragedy compounded by a tragedy. Well, today, Dickey is talking about admitting that suspects have been held. He announced today the transfer to Guantanamo Bay Naval Base of 14 al-Qaeda terrorist suspects previously held by the CIA in a secret detention program. And he called on Congress to pass legislation on special military tribunals so they can be tried for crimes including the 9/11 attacks. There's a lot of speciousness in what Dickey had to say today, and I'll get into that. But before I do, a couple of pieces of news. The press secretary to the president of Pakistan has told ABC News, and now Pakistan is denying it, but has told ABC News that if Osama bin Laden is caught, he won't be, or more precisely, he will not be caught if he agrees to live a peaceful life. The press secretary to Musharraf in Pakistan says that if found, now notice it's not we're looking for you, if you happen to stroll in to our purview, you know, like we're a department store and you happen to be walking in, we're not even going to arrest you if you promise to behave as a, quote, peaceful citizen. If he is in Pakistan, bin Laden would not be taken into custody, said Major General Shokat Sultan Khan, and he told this to ABC News in a phone interview. As long as one is being like a peaceful citizen. This is Brian Ross reporting this. No, as long as one is being like a peaceful citizen, one would not be taken into custody. One has to stay like a peaceful citizen and not allowed to participate in any kind of terrorist activity. And remember now, the secret police, the intelligence services in Pakistan are very sympathetic to the Taliban, to bin Laden, it has been reported. This surprising announcement comes as Pakistani army officials announced that they were pulling their troops out of North Waziristan region as part of a peace deal with the Taliban. So we think that maybe bin Laden could be in that neighborhood, but who knows? Everybody's pulling their troops out of there. You know, it's like Phil Angelides running for governor. I don't think anybody really, does he really want to be governor? Because he's not acting like it. And does anybody really want to catch Osama bin Laden? Because they're not acting like they do. We're not acting like it, and Pakistan's not acting like it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But here is a piece of stunning research, and I want to share this with you. This is Columbia University has done this research. Three things that can be expected from the president's speeches, according to a new study by three Columbia University researchers. The media will repeat the president's remarks. Public fear of terrorism will increase, and the president's poll numbers will rise. Well, now that has happened in the past, but these terrorism speeches that he's been giving so far, I don't know if he's getting any bounce from it. He did not get any significant bounce from the British terrorist plot that was foiled. And here is what these three researchers are saying. Columbia University researchers are saying, they're political scientists. These have been the effects of presidential pronouncements on terrorism since the 9/11 attacks. And here are the interesting findings. This public panic that always ensues when they use fear to manipulate us actually benefits the terrorists, whose work is made easier by an overactive government response that magnifies their efforts. So here are a few ragtag dopey terrorists that were on their last legs after 9/11, and we have given them new life in a couple of ways. First, by going to war against a country that had nothing whatever to do with 9/11. That's number one. And number two, by focusing on terrorism, by using it to manipulate the citizenry into voting Republican, it magnifies the importance of this ragtag group of horrible individuals. And it accomplishes what the terrorists meant to accomplish on their own, and only now the U.S. government helps them. The terrorists are just trying to scare us. So here's the government scaring us also, so you have scare on scare, scare squared. And so you have an overactive government response that magnifies the efforts in an odd way, say these Columbia researchers. This puts the government and the terrorists in league with one another. The main loser, alas, is the terrified public. The real new thing here is that the mere threat, heavily mass-mediated, achieves at least part of what actual terrorism achieves. Terrorists want to intimidate. They want to spread fear and anxiety. They want to take influence through the public on government officials. And that is exactly what it's doing. So the three things that you can always, that the administration has come to expect, and I don't know if it'll happen again, that the media will repeat the president's remark, public fear of terrorism will increase, and finally, the president's poll numbers will rise. Well, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Tom, in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I just heard you talking about the Pakistan supposedly letting Osama bin Laden off, and that story came out earlier today that that's not what was said.
Well, Pakistan is denying it, and I think ABC is saying that is standing by it, is the last report I heard on it.
So they're taking the word of a general who, and then the prime minister comes out and says that's not what he said.
Well, this is a major general who was the press secretary to the president of Pakistan, and they pulled their troops out of an area where it's possible bin Laden is. So is anybody actually looking very hard for bin Laden?
Well, yeah, but that's not relative to the point as to whether Pakistan would be letting him go or not if he were to be found.
Well, so tell me what your point is.
My point is that story has been reported. He's been misquoted, and that's come from a higher-ranking source than a major. That's from, I believe, from the prime minister of Pakistan.
But what if? Well, I think the story is still in a confusing state. And so some people are denying it, and other people are saying this is, I think we're losing you, Tom. Other people are saying this is what happened. And do you think we're getting the true story from this press secretary to the president of Pakistan? Because don't forget, Pakistan is a divided entity. Pakistan's military and some of their intelligence services are heavily pro-Taliban. And remember A.Q. Khan, the father of the Pakistani nuclear program, was funneling nuclear materials to people he shouldn't have been funneling it to, governments that it shouldn't have had it, states that shouldn't have had it. So Pakistan has, some of the worst madrasas are in Pakistan. And when these Lodi father and son duo the son was accused of going to terrorist training camps, I believe, in Pakistan. So Pakistan is not what you'd call 100% true blue supporters of the U.S. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Humidity is just great, 20%. We do have a temperature about 91 here in the River City. Lows tonight could reach 99, and tomorrow highs 97, 98, another hot one, though a little breezy. Our traffic is, we do have a little jam, though, going southbound 99. On the right-hand side, we have a three-car crash there by Fruit Ridge Road. Mack Road, Elk Grove Boulevard, a little slow, but no crashes. Northbound Cap City Freeway, right before Arden Way, we have a two-car crash there. And I-80 and Madison Avenue, it looks like we have a vehicle on the right-hand side of the road that's stopping traffic. Enid Live continues. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
This Thursday.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal Internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Make a difference. I'm Scott Forrington, co-host of AM 1320's Morning Retort. Help me raise awareness and save lives. The Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk is coming up on Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. For more information, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. It was reported earlier, and then the Pakistanis deny it, but I wonder what the real truth is. ABC reported that the press secretary to the president of Pakistan has said that bin Laden will not be captured if he agrees to live a peaceful life. Will not be captured. I mean, it isn't that they would catch him and decide not to put him into jail. They're not. No, who's looking for him? We're not looking for him, I guess. We're busy in Iraq. We're busy, almost 3,000 people, that's like 2,600 or so, 2,500, 2,600 of our people have been killed in Iraq. Almost as many as were killed at 9/11. And this new study, I think, is just amazing because what it does, the politicians' rhetoric to get those votes just raises the fear level, and really, what happens is Dickie is in league with the terrorists. Their whole idea is to scare Americans, and the administration is doing that. 349-1320-866-620-61320 in the run up to 9/11. Bob and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Bob.
Hi, this Enid.
It is. Tell me what's on your mind.
What I wanted to tell you, two things, bipartite information. One is, I never trusted Pakistan from the day they said they were one of our allies. One thing, look at the form of government they got. It's a totalitarian dictatorship that overthrew a democracy. The second thing is, they've had more killings of Christians, I don't know about Jews, but Christians by odd hope groups there. And then it is a hotbed of madrasa, which is like, you can't trust Christians and Jews, so it's best to kill them. I don't trust that, and they got nukes. I mean, I think Bush's emphasis on Iran should be, it's poorly misplaced, and he should be on Pakistan. I mean, he should be talking.
He should have been looking for Osama bin Laden. I mean, the whole thing
exactly
is a mess,
well,
we are stretched so thin. We are really defeated. That's the story here.
I agree. I think Iraq is like some sort of Pyrrhic victory or something, or Pyrrhic defeat. I don't know which it is.
Yeah, well.
And then the other thing about Phil Angelides is, I just wanted to say this, is that I think the Democrats, one of the best things they could do, like Harold Ford's making a mistake of saying, oh, we won't leave Iraq without, you know, conditions being a certain way. Harold Ford running in Tennessee, I hope the hell he wins. But the thing is, I think the Democrats should take the idea, you guys started it, they better figure out a way to finish it. And
why won't Angelides say and pointedly ask Arnold Schwarzenegger and make it a big campaign issue, what is your stand on Iraq? Nobody, you know, one of the architects of Arnold's campaign worked for Cheney, worked for Rove, may have helped craft those messages on Iraq. Why doesn't Phil point the finger at Arnold and say, where do you stand on Iraq? And I don't know why everybody's so reticent to do that.
I think this is what's going to happen. It's one of those rare elections where people are going to go and say, you know, Bush is not a bad guy. He's trying to win in Iraq. But they're going to get in at the last minute and say, you know, my life has been nothing but misery. My sense of well-being has been nothing but horror. When the Republicans took over, it was the same kind of feeling. They just bombed the Trade Center, you know, from underneath the basement. And, you know, my sense of well-being is not good. And I think a lot of people are going to, like, and their impulsive vote at the last second is going to be, I just don't want to dance. If it says R after it, it's out.
Okay.
I'm hoping that happens.
We'll see what happens, Bob. Yes, quickly.
Well, I'd emphasize one last thing. Is Charlie Brown has got to win and Pombo has got to go.
And are you working on any of these campaigns?
I'm not working in anybody's campaign.
Well, why not? Why aren't you working on it?
I operate best when I have freedom of speech. They don't get blamed for anything.
Wait a minute. You call up and you tell me that these guys have to win, and what are you doing to help them win? Why don't you write a check or go to work on the campaign? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Let's you and him fight. I'll hold your jacket. Lynn in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I had a question about how much, does anybody know how much news coverage that Phil Angelis is getting from people coming out to report his stuff, because I know he's out talking every day.
Well, I'll tell you how. Why? What is your point about that? You mean you don't think he's getting as much news coverage as a sitting governor?
Well, the reason I ask that question is I know personally that one of our candidates had to go to the Bee twice to ask the Bee to cover him, and yet they covered his opponent, you know, completely. So
when you're the sitting governor, Lynn, you're going to get more coverage than if you're the challenger. But let me tell you, the way the game works is if you are the challenger, you've got to be really smart about how you can get yourself out there. And if I were Phil Angelides, I might start by saying what my position is on universal health care, that I would have supported the universal health care bill that Sheila Kuehl carried. I might pointedly ask Schwarzenegger what his position is on Iraq. I might stand up there and say, as people in the blogosphere have suggested, that as my first act as the commander-in-chief of the California National Guard on the very first day that I'm in office, I'm going to bring back our sons and daughters. That's what I would do. And all of that stuff would get him a lot of ink, and he's not doing it. It's the oldest trick in the book.
I know that, you might be right, but the reality is, for me, because I do know who's on the list of the people who are supporting Arnold, and James Baker III is one of them. And one of the reasons why Kerry had such a hard time and other national candidates is because they just would not be covered by the press. And I think that's...
Lynn, look at what is Angelides doing on his own behalf? What is he doing to take bold positions and get some traction that would force the press to cover him? And you know what? The press has assigned reporters to both of those campaigns. So he's going to get coverage. And you know, the more he says something bold, the more coverage he's going to get, because those reporters who are covering him want their pieces to get some traction in the paper as well. So you've got a lot of things going, whereas if you're talking about a more obscure race, it's probably a different story. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. If you were running for governor of California, wouldn't you do everything you could to get some good publicity out there, not compromising your position and whoring yourself out to do it, but to take some bold positions, say, to Arnold, challenge Arnold, where do you stand on Iraq? Because Arnold has avoided discussion of the subject. I don't get it. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. What would you do about the National Guard? Would you take the blogosphere suggestion and order California's sons and daughters home and then slug it out in the courts later? At least it would get you a lot of ink, wouldn't it? And you know, it resonates with us. We want to bring our folks back from Iraq. And since you say you support universal health care, would you have signed that bill? Don't brush off the reporters. Would you have signed that bill? Taylor in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to make a comment. You know how Bush says that Al-Qaeda wants to kill us? And my thought is Al-Qaeda doesn't need to kill us. Bush is doing a great job in Iraq killing us.
That's it. And you know what? He's doing a great job of pumping up the fear that the terrorists are trying to do on a budget. He's given them all this exposure.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. 349-1320. There is a new book out that is written by Michael Isikoff from, was it Time or Newsweek, and David Korn, who I think writes for The Nation. The new book is called Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin Scandal and the Selling of the Iraq War. And in it, Bush vowed that, he reacted. There were some startling revelations. Bush reacted with a curse-filled tirade when told in May of 2002 that the reporter Helen Thomas, who's now in her middle 80s or more, was asking about the need to oust Saddam. Bush snapped, "Did you tell her that I intend to kick his sorry mother effing ass all over the Mideast?" Ooh, George. In another revelation, it says when Bush was first briefed that no WMDs had been found in Iraq, he was totally unfazed and asked a few questions. "I'm not sure I've spoken to anyone at that level who seemed less inquisitive, the briefer told the authors. So there it is. New information coming out about the, what do you want to call it? in cognizance of Dickie. 349-1320-866-620-61320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, our traffic is just mighty fine at 536, and I am just shocked. It's a Wednesday, and it's usually quite thick. Now, you're doing about 5560 right there by Free Ridge Road, southbound 99. We do have a couple of car crashes, though, but it isn't really blocking traffic, slowing things down. Madison Avenue, just east of Hemlock, we do have a three-car crash. That is blocking the lane. In fact, right here in front of the radio station, southbound 99 at Consumnis River College, we have a vehicle in the roadway, and Stockton Boulevard at 65th. It is stopping on the en route traffic there. Back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Exposing the right as wrong. It's Enid Live at 349-1320 on Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
20 Left Channel Action Calendar. The creators of the local alternative cable access programs Media Edge and Sacramento Soapbox present a series of progressive films and documentaries at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Leading off the series will be The Ground Truth on Tuesday, September 19th at 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. This film stunned audiences at the 2006 Sundance and Nantucket Film Festivals. This powerful documentary features exclusive footage of patriotic young Americans who heeded the call for military service in Iraq. Then on Tuesday, October 10th, director Robert Greenwald's new film, Iraq for Sale, will be screened at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Iraq for Sale uncovers the connections between private corporations making a killing in Iraq and the decision makers who allow them to do so. Greenwald's previous films include Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. Admission for each film is $10. More information is at 916-803-3909 or go to wethemedia.tv.
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8th. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net.
We need your support.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
5:42 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a lot of different things, and there's new information emerging about the president. He was determined to kick Saddam's behind no matter what. We have a new study out that tells us that that using terror, with the fifth anniversary of the 9/11 fast approaching, Dickey took the podium to speak to Americans about his administration's global war on terror, and he did the same thing today as well. Three things can be expected from Bush's speech, according to a new study by three Columbia University researchers. One, the media will repeat the president's remarks. Two, public fear of terrorism will increase. And three, the president's poll numbers will rise. Well, not so fast. The poll numbers have not been rising. But the conclusion of the study tells us that the public panic benefits the terrorists because they're using fear to manipulate us, whose work is made easier by an overactive government response that magnifies these ragtag terrorist efforts. I'm saying ragtag. In an odd way, this puts the government and the terrorists in league with one another, said one of the researchers at Columbia University. Don't you think that's interesting? 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. And Pakistan, you know, looks like it's pretty lax when it's... I got an email from one of you. Let me see if I can find it today. Today on Air America Radio, I heard something to the effect that the Attorney General refused to say that bin Laden was number one on the number one watch list. He would only mention that he's on the list. So I don't know if he's number one, and Pakistan doesn't look like it's too eager to find him, and we're not getting a hernia trying to find him either. Patrick in Midtown. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, hi, Enid.
Hi.
I was telling a little bit about the gubernatorial race and the fact that I remember when the primary was going on, they were talking about, you know, Angelides having all this money. And yet, why isn't any of this money being spent on, you know, advertising? I mean, I see an inept guy here. I don't know if he doesn't have the charisma to be able to get out there, but it's telling.
I don't think he's – I think the primary was a bruising, expensive primary. And a lot of the money got sucked up by that primary. So I don't. I think when you don't have as many dollars to spend as your opponent, then you've got to think of more creative ways to get yourself some publicity. And by taking bold stands, you would get a lot of ink.
Yeah, I want to see this as a horse race, so that we can get both sides and the issues out on the table.
Well, who are you going to vote for, Patrick?
I'll probably vote for Arnold more so.
Why?
Because the reason is I think he's a centrist, but more importantly.
Well, what makes you think he's a centrist?
Hang on. I don't see any fire from Phil. I don't see that he's a leader because he's not doing anything. He's not saying anything in the media. Where's the beef here?
Would you have voted for Arnold anyway? Are you a Republican?
No, I'm an independent voter actually.
Well, I'm telling you, what has Arnold done for you?
Well, I mean...
Oh, uh-huh. What's he done? Oh, he's a leader. Well, why? Because he was in some action movies. Wears a lot of makeup. Arnold wears a lot of makeup. You know, he has a hard time standing up straight. He's got so much makeup on it, could topple the Empire State Building.
Yeah, it's... Okay, Enid, it's all about the makeup. You got me.
Well, I asked you when I said, what has he done for you? You had no answer for me. You had no answer for what he has done for you and what he has done for the state of California. And I think you're representative of a lot of people who think they're going to vote for him because they like him or because they liked his movies.
No, it happens to do with taxes. The fact that you got us out of this whole thing without raising a bunch of taxes.
What did he get you out of? The prison? Wait. Patrick, what did he get you out of?
He got me out of having to pay extra in taxes.
Wait. Let's look at the prison issue for a moment. The prison issue is in huge meltdown. Did he get you out of that? Did he get you out of fixing the prison system, which he promised to do? Did he do that?
Name six or seven things out of 20 that he didn't.
Do you make under $450,000 a year?
Doesn't have a guy.
Do you make under $450,000 a year?
Do I make under 450? Yes, I do.
All right. Well, Phil Angelides has a tax cut for you. So think about it, Patrick. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You may wish to comment about that. All right. In today's B, this is a letter about Doolittle. One B reader wrote a letter praising Doolittle, Deep Doo Doo Doolittle, who lives up to his name of doing little, and cited the fact that Doolittle, to say why he was supporting Doolittle, that Doolittle won the Thomas Jefferson Award for his support of, quote, sound fiscal policy and minimal government regulations, the Thomas Jefferson Award. Oh, that sounds so important. For sound fiscal policy and minimal government regulations. Well, Doolittle ought to know something about fiscal policy because he's skimming 15% of everything you give him and goes right into his pocket. And every time he did a favor for Jack Abramoff, isn't it interesting that Mrs. Deep Doo Doo Doolittle got some money? And, oh, by the way, they are investigating Mrs. Tom DeLay for exactly the same thing, that maybe she was part of what they would say on The Sopranos was a no-show job that somehow Jack Abramoff funded for rather a lot of money. She didn't do anything. She didn't have to show up, but she was getting all this money for this job. So the FBI is investigating her. Well, anyway, back to Doolittle, who won the ever-important Thomas Jefferson Award. Who would give such an award to a congressman, writes Michael from Rockland. Who would give such an award to a congressman who, along with now jailed former Representative Duke Cunningham, squandered $37 million for laser equipment the military did not want? The answer to my question, writes Michael in his letter to the editor, was only a Google away. The award was created, this Thomas Jefferson Award, was created by the International Food Service Distributors Association. Doolittle sits on the subcommittee that oversees the food industry. It is no surprise that the very industry Doolittle is supposed to oversee is also a major contributor to his campaign. The award was a thank you for helping overturn Prop 65, which demanded that food manufacturers list any dangerous chemicals found in their processed food. Some 775 chemicals have been listed as carcinogens. In direct opposition to the will of the citizens of California, Doolittle co-sponsored the National Uniformity for Food Act, which gutted California Prop 65. Now you know the rest of the story. Now you know why Doolittle received the phony Thomas Jefferson Award. It was meaningless, given to him by the powerful food lobby at the expense of all of us. Well, there you have it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And in case things aren't preposterous enough, Catherine Harris, not exactly an ambulatory endorsement for mental health, Catherine Harris has captured the GOP Senate nomination. Oh, we could have so much fun with her if she hadn't been so destructive in the 2000 election. Can you believe it? She has overcome a campaign ridiculed even by her own party to easily claim the GOP nomination. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what that says about Florida exactly, but I'm sure it says something significant. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, I'm Scott Forrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before, but now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk, Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Freedom cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
To Enid now.
Talk to Enid now. 553 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We have only an hour and a few minutes to tie up all of our business together, and then I will I won't see you again until Monday because I'm going to be off tomorrow and the next day. Couple of things that I want to, we've been talking about terrorism, we've been talking about both parties, candidates of both parties are have turned Donald Rumsfeld into a pinata. Remember when he was considered sort of an ancient sex symbol? Well, now everybody's ganging up on him because you have the election coming up, and so he's a pinata. But what does he care? He's not going anywhere as far as his job's concerned. And right now he's in the hospital with some rotator cuff, or he was in the hospital. I don't know if he still is. And the president is making a big deal out of all the reading that he's been doing. Now, somebody said it was 60 books. Oh, and he said three Shakespeare's. Which three? Was it the Cliff Notes version? I can't believe that he was reading Shakespeare. Shakespeare takes a little energy to read, and if he's been reading 60 books, you know, do the math. What is that, a couple of hours a day of reading, 2.5, and he goes to bed early, so is he really, who's running the country? All right, here it is. Another letter to the editor. According to Maureen Dowd, Laura Bush is trying to smarten up her husband by having him read books the rest of us read in high school. Terrific. That pretty much sums up this presidency. Okay. I'm just bitter because he was partying in Houston while my invitation read Haiphong Harbor. Ooh, Vietnam. Signed James McManus III, Phoenix, Arizona. That's a very good letter to the editor, don't you think? And where you and I may have first encountered each other has to do with the O.J. Simpson trial, which was sort of a mania that everybody said they were sick of but nobody could get enough of. O.J. Simpson. So this is where the polling sometimes breaks down. They did all these polls. Are you sick of O.J.? Oh, yeah, I'm so sick. You know, when you're talking to a researcher, you tell the researcher what is a socially acceptable way. Oh, I'm so sick of the O.J. Simpson. So, you know, we were practically doing O.J. all the time, all O.J. all the time, and people couldn't get enough of it. And so now here's the latest. Actually, this is a story that doesn't die. Ron Goldman's father asked a court to give him... Listen to this. This is actually pretty clever. The publicity rights to the name, image, and likeness of O.J. Simpson, who has failed to pay a $33.5 million judgment in a 1997 wrongful death lawsuit. He personally has never paid a dime on the judgment to anyone, Fred Goldman said. This is a petition which was filed in Santa Monica's, in Los Angeles Superior Court. Ask that OJ's right of publicity be transferred to help pay off the Goldman family's portion of the lawsuit award, estimated at about $20 million plus interest. A hearing on the petition was is scheduled for middle October. Simpson, who lives in Florida, was acquitted, and he is really looking hard for Nicole's murders. He is looking hard. Anyway, the Goldman and Brown families, Nicole's family, later sued O.J., a civil court jury using a lesser standard of proof than required at a criminal trial, found him liable for the killings. He has avoided paying the civil judgment because his NFL pension and his Florida home cannot legally be seized. However, Goldman's petition contends that O.J. has continued to earn money through appearances and autograph signings. So what they want to do now is to, here's Ron Goldman's father, has asked the court to give him the publicity rights to the name, to the image, and to the likeness of O.J. Simpson. So I don't know how that would work, example. I mean, if you hire O.J., to sign autographs, and Ron Goldman owns the rights to his name and to his image and to his likeness, OJ can still show up and say, I'm OJ. I mean, I don't know how this is going to work, except it sounds pretty clever. I think when you think about it, though, we don't know how this is going to work. But I'm glad that Ron Goldman's father is in there trying to collect on the judgment. One of the stories we talked about yesterday was Katie Couric. Well, there were a lot of
Relatives of 9/11 victims were in the audience at the White House today as President Bush set the stage for trials of leading terror suspects, including the alleged mastermind of the 9/11 plot.
So I'm announcing today that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Zubaydah, Ramzi bin al-Shib, and 11 other terrorists in CIA custody have been transferred to the United States Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay.
Until Monday, they've been held at secret sites overseas. Mr. Bush said their interrogations yielded valuable information that led to the disruption of other plots, but he insisted the methods used stopped short of torture.
I can say the procedures were tough, and they were safe, and lawful and necessary.
They'll be put on trial as soon as Congress approves new procedures.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where there is some resistance to President Bush's latest proposal for how to try prisoners in the war on terrorism. A group of prominent Republican senators, led by John McCain, who himself was a prisoner of war, have argued the U.S. has got to give basic rights to those captured in battle, not just for their sakes, but ours. And a key point of disagreement is using secret evidence, which the president says may be needed and these senators say must be banned.
The administration says some evidence can't be revealed because it would compromise ongoing investigations. A high school on Navajo Nation land in northeastern Arizona went into lockdown late today because of a report that six people with weapons were holed up inside. Unfounded, says school superintendent Deborah Dennison.
We went into lockdown so that we could search the school to make certain that there are no weapons in the school, and that's it. There is no hostages held. There's no all of this bogus which is being out.
It's not clear how the story got started. School buses, one at a time, are taking the kids home. General Motors makes a new bid for business, announcing extended warranties on all 2007 models. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ has details.
GM's new plan includes a 100,000-mile, five-year warranty on the powertrain. That covers expensive repairs like the engine, transmission, and the like. CEO Rick Wagner says they can make this offer because improved quality has meant drastically lower warranty costs for the company.
Our announcement today is a clear sign of the confidence we have in the quality and value of our cars and trucks, and in the people who design, engineer, supply, build, sell, and service them.
GM is also expanding its roadside assistance and courtesy transportation programs.
Warranties are transferable to enhance resale value. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan, convicted on corruption charges, has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison. It was Ryan who declared a moratorium on the death penalty as he left office in 2000. The charges, later filed, stemmed from his days as Illinois Secretary of State in the 1990s. Prosecutors say Ryan took bribes in exchange for licenses, leases, and contracts. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 63 points. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Mercy, this is John.
We were just rear-ended.
Are there any injuries?
Yeah, my husband's in pain right now.
Every month, OnStar offers help in thousands of emergencies.
Okay, I've got you on Gender Road. I'll be contacting emergency services.
Police station.
This is John with OnStar. I'm one of our subscribers. I've just been involved in an accident, and there are injuries. I can comfort some men.
How many cars are involved?
I don't know. We were rear-ended.
And you're injured?
My husband. I'm not sure where he's injured.
All right, we'll get medics out.
Just letting you know we're still here on the line with you.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
Sir, medics are here now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'll go ahead and disconnect so they can help you out.
Appreciate so much.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
A former Treasury Department employee admitted in court today that he stole freshly printed money and tried to launder it at casinos in Delaware, Atlantic City, and West Virginia. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadakis has the story.
Despite very tight security at the Bureau of Printing and Engraving, an employee smuggled 21 sheets of $100 bills worth $67,000 out of the Washington, D.C. facility. The worker went to casinos, feeding bills into slot machines, but casino cameras saw there were no serial numbers on the money. FBI agents later found currency sheets rolled up in Christmas wrapping paper in the man's closet.
He could face up to a year in prison when he's sentenced in January. Maybe you've had this experience. You think of someone, and a moment later, the phone rings, and it's that person. A British researcher calls it telephone telepathy, and in an experiment, subjects were able to guess the caller 45% of the time. He says it works with email, too. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I want to let you in.
If you were thinking of...
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas
gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net.
We need your support.
New rule. No more whining about the French. At least they're standing up to the Bush administration, which is more than I can say for the Democrats. And by the way, it doesn't make me un-American to say I'd rather live in Paris than in places where cheese only comes in individually wrapped slices. New rule. Secretary Ridge, we know you're running this huge Orwellian organization. There's no need to rub our face in it. New rule. No gay fraternities. Apparently there are now dozens of them. Why bother? If you're gay, you already have a much better way of bonding with another man than the chug-a-lug. A dirty show this week.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Working in a shop. I was rolling around in a ghost town, waiting on a record to drop.
6:06, 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to hour four of the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until seven and then not again until Monday, which happens to be 9/11, I think, if I read the calendar correctly. You know, I'm of two minds as we it's going to be media overload, just like, remember we did the all polygamy, the Borowitz report was the all polygamy channel, that CNN had turned itself into the all polygamy channel. If you listen to George Carlin, he's advocating for the all suicide channel. And if you look at CNN right now, it's the all baby Surrey cruise channel. Because that's all they're doing ever since, you know, Vanity Fair's got a cover story and Katie Couric opened with it and she got big ratings yesterday. So, you know, you can forget about real news. It's not real news anyway. For, you know, don't even think about it. If you want real news, listen to Enid Live, where it's real opinion, but based on as many facts as we can muster. And go to the net. Go read a newspaper. Read a book. You'll find out a lot of information, but most people get their information from TV news, radio news, etc. We've been talking about many, many things. We started out, we've been talking about the governor's race. We've been talking about many things. We've been talking about the strike. We've been talking about health care, the county strike, the Maloofs in a surprise announcement. It may be that the rail yard deal won't work. Arnold in a surprise move vetoes Sheila Kuehl's Don't Discriminate Against Gays and other classes legislation. Phil doesn't want to say where he stands on whether he would have signed the bill that Arnold didn't sign, having to do with universal health care. So, you know, we're doing this little dance that goes on. And then we see that the longer you're in prison, the more mental health problems you have, which should not come as a big surprise. I love this story. Did you hear it in CBS News at the top of the hour? I love this story a lot, which is when the phone is about to ring, you kind of know. They did a study. 45% of the cases, you know who's calling. Haven't you had that happen? What does that say about? What does that really say about intuition and kind of the connection that we don't know we have with each other, but we sort of sense that we have with each other? I think Jung said that he thought. Oh, no, it wasn't Jung. It was. I'll think of it. He wrote Lives of a Cell. Lewis was his last name. And I'll think of his first name. He was a physician. He's no longer alive, and he headed up Sloan Kettering. He was an MD. And he thought he had come to believe that we are all part of one large and vast organism, that we are all, you know, little cilia. We're all just little waving bands of, you know, we're just little hairs on this one large and vast organism. We're sort of connected with each other. And I remember reading about an experiment that was done where they took a mother rabbit. And they it was one way or the other. They put her in a submarine far away, and they hooked up electrodes to her, and they took her little her little infants, rabbits, and they killed them all. And every time they killed one, she would register. So there's some, you know, I don't know, maybe that wasn't really scientific, but it sounded like it was scientific. And I believe that kind of stuff. Your goddess believes that stuff. Anyway, I forgot to tell you how you can contact me. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. I will be off tomorrow and the next day back with you on 9/11. I'm having some dental stuff done, so I won't be able to talk very well. But you'll be in good hands with Air America. Some of you will be pleased that you won't have to listen to me. So I'm going to bedevil you and come back anyway on Monday. And I want to tell you that we will have, on the 14th, a Wednesday or Thursday, on the 14th, we are going to be joined by Nora Ephron, whose book will have gone to number one, I am told. Her people told me that. It's going to number one this week, at New York Times bestseller list. And the book is called I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. And it is a collection of her very witty essays. And don't forget, she is a film director, Hollywood director, screenwriter, novelist, formerly married to Bernstein of Woodward and Bernstein and so on. So that'll be kind of fun. One of the names that Donnie Rumsfeld was reserving for Democrats was appeasers. Appeasers? It sounds like someone who's had an episiotomy. An appeaser? Well, here it is. This is Peter Galbraith writing in, I think, originally published in the Boston Globe. They're talking about if you run away from Iraq, you're an appeaser. Well, here's what happened. Donald Rumsfeld, in his most recent justification on his Pentagon stewardship, Don Rumsfeld reached back to the 30s, comparing the Bush administration's critics to those who, like U.S. Ambassador to Britain Joseph E. Kennedy, favored appeasing Adolf Hitler. Rumsfeld avoided a more recent comparison, the appeasement of Saddam Hussein by the Reagan and first Bush administrations. The reasons for this selectivity are obvious, since so many of Hussein's appeasers in the 1980s were principals in the 2003 Iraq War, including Rumsfeld. In 1983, Reagan initiated a strategic opening to Iraq, then in the third year of a war of attrition with the neighboring Iran. Although Iraq had started the war with a blitzkrieg attack in 1980, the tide had turned by 1982 in favor of a much larger Iran, and the Reagan administration was afraid that Iraq might actually lose. Reagan deputized Rumsfeld as his emissary to Saddam Hussein, whom Rumsfeld visited in December 1983 and March of 1984. Inconveniently, Iraq had begun to use chemical weapons against Iran in November of 1983, the first sustained use of poison gas since the 1925 treaty banning that. Rumsfeld never mentioned this blatant violation of international law to Hussein. Instead, he focused on the shared hostility toward Iran and an oil pipeline through Jordan. Rumsfeld apparently did mention it to Tariq Aziz, Iraq's foreign minister, but by not raising the issue with Saddam Hussein, he signaled that good relations were more important to the U.S. than the use of poison gas. So I guess Don Rumsfeld, in the hospital at least yesterday for surgery on a rotator cuff, has rotated his position entirely around so that somehow everybody else is an appeaser, but he's not an appeaser. You know, this is the story of the thief who thinks everybody else is out to steal. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And when you're talking about cut and run, I mean, where was Bush during the Vietnam War? Where was Cheney during the Vietnam War? Where was Rove? They were partying. They had other priorities. They were busy. Hewlett-Packard, let's go to Silicon Valley. Hewlett-Packard has had a series of board meetings, and then what seems to happen with rather unnerving regularity is that certain publications, in one case the Wall Street Journal, in another case CNET, which is an online tech site, will publish articles about the most intimate details of what went on in these board meetings. Clearly, somebody, board member, a director of Hewlett-Packard, is leaking to the press. But when confronted with the evidence, or when confronted with the question, are you the leaker, which sounds like somebody should be consulting their urologist. Of course, all the board directors denied that they were the leaker. So while this piece was an upbeat piece, this one that happened to be published in CNET, it was an article about the long-term strategy at Hewlett-Packard. The company then ranked number 11 in the Fortune 500. And while the piece was upbeat, it quoted an anonymous HP source and it contained information that it could have only come from a Hewlett-Packard director. Hewlett-Packard's chairwoman, I guess on the board, Patricia Dunn, told another director she wanted to know who it was. She was fed up with the ongoing leaks to the media, going back to the when CEO was Carly Fiorina, her tumultuous tenure that ended in early 2005. According to an internal Hewlett-Packard email, Patricia Dunn then took the extraordinary step of authorizing a team of independent electronic security experts to spy on the January 2006 communications of the other 10 directors, not the records of calls or emails from HP itself, but the records of phone calls made from personal accounts. That means calls from the directors' homes and their private cell phones. Now, can you believe this? These are some of the most powerful people in America, including Tom Perkins of the legendary VC firm, venture capital firm in the Valley of Perkins. What is it? Kleiner Perkins. He wrote a bestseller, Sex and the Single Zillionaire, can you believe? Because he was married briefly to Danielle Steele, the romance novelist. And he has this huge boat. And anyway, he's had a long history with HP. And he is one of the directors. It was classic data mining. And this is MSNBC. This is Newsweek. Dunn's consultants were not actually listening in on the calls. All they had to do was look for a pattern of contacts. Patricia Dunn acted without informing the rest of the board. Her actions were now about to unleash a round of boardroom fury at one of America's largest companies and a Silicon Valley icon. That corporate turmoil is now coming to light in documents obtained by Newsweek that the Securities and Exchange Commission is currently deciding whether to make public. Dunn could not be reached for comment, and HP spokesperson declined repeated requests for comment. But on about May 18th at HP headquarters in Palo Alto, Dunn sprung her bombshell on the board. She had found the leaker. According to Tom Perkins, Danielle Steele's former husband, who is an HP director and who was present, Dunn laid out the surveillance scheme and pointed out the offending director who acknowledged being the CNET leaker. That director, whose identity has not yet been disclosed, well, it has been disclosed, and I'll give it to you because it was disclosed in today's Wall Street Journal. That person is, let me see if I can find his name here. George Keyworth. George Keyworth is a leaker. And it's revealed in today's Wall Street Journal. So what she did, they're trying to find the leak. And now she does classic data mining, which I think is what the administration is using on the rest of us, trying to find a pattern of contacts. I don't know quite how it works. So those of you who are higher tech than I am, and that would include just about everybody on this planet, can tell me how it really works. But anyway, when she revealed who the leaker was, and at that point Newsweek was not publicly releasing the name, but the name has been released in today's Wall Street Journal, Perkins was furious. And I think the other directors, close to 90 minutes of heated debate followed. But Perkins, the Silicon Valley venture capitalist, said he was the only director who rose to take Dunn on directly, Patricia Dunn. Perkins says he was enraged at the surveillance, which he called illegal, unethical, and a misplaced corporate priority on Dunn's part. He says he was particularly annoyed since he chaired HP Board's Nominating and Governance Committee and had not been informed by Dunn of the surveillance, even though he said she had told him for months that she was attempting to discover the source of the leak. Did she do the right thing, is my question. If you were on the board of directors of one of the most powerful, icon companies, a very big company, a Fortune 500, what is it, number 11 on the Fortune 500 list of companies in the country. and you were being surveilled like this, how would you feel? On the other hand, if you were, charged with the responsibility, I would think a fiduciary responsibility here to run the company, to exercise your duties as a board member or the director of the board or the chairperson of the board, and somebody is leaking to the press. They shouldn't be leaking because it can undermine, in various ways, it can undermine the company, even when the stories are upbeat stories. You ask directly. Everybody says they didn't do it, but somebody clearly is doing it. And all the evidence points to a director on the board of this powerful company. What would you do? Would you do as this woman did? It really strikes me as very cloak and dagger. I mean, I don't like it. When I looked at this, I didn't like what she had done, but I could sort of see why she did it. It just seems very, on the one hand, the board was being undermined. People were leaking in order to get their own view across. On the other hand, this also seems possibly illegal, possibly certainly unethical. It feels like it's unethical. It feels not right. What are your views about this? 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And what if you had a similar situation at work? Maybe not as dramatic as this, where something was happening and nobody fesses up to it. And the surveillance begins to happen so that they find out whether you're leaking to the press or whether you're talking to people you're not supposed to be talking to. How would you feel about that? How would you feel about it if you owned the company? How would you feel about it if you worked for the company? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, our weather is looking nice for the next couple of days. We got 97, 98. Humidity tomorrow will be about 68, at least for the first couple of hours and on and through the afternoon. Northbound Cap City Freeway, just south of Auburn. We have a vehicle on the right. Grizzly Flat Road and Myers Lane we've got a deer. It looks like a car has hit a deer, actually. That is stopping traffic over there and on into Sacramento. Northbound 99 just south of Broadway, we have a three-car crash. Enid Live continues. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Make a difference. I'm Scott Forrington, co-host of AM 1320's Morning Retort. Help me raise awareness and save lives. The Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk is coming up on Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. For more information, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
6:24 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, and then I won't see you again until Monday. So all loose ends tied up today, 349-1320, well, as much as you can tie them up, or toll-free 866-626-1320. We're talking about this really, to me anyway, I'm fascinated by this Hewlett-Packard case in Silicon Valley. It reads almost like a portion of a thriller. And how they got this information, if you're just tuning in, clearly a board member was leaking to the press. They could never find out who it was. Nobody would fess up to it. And so the chairwoman of the board, Patricia Dunn, who runs some big financial empire, decided to surveil. I mean, and we're talking private cell phones, emails and so forth, records of phone calls made from personal accounts that meant calls from the director's home and their private cell phones. And how they did this, I wasn't quite sure how they did this, but something called pretexting. Do you know how this works? When you pretext, how you get the information? The HP case, Hewlett-Packard, specifically sheds spotlight on a questionable tactic used by security consultants to obtain personal information. HP acknowledged in an internal email sent from outside counsel to Ed C. and Tom Perkins resigned over this. He got mad. He slammed his briefcase. He said, "I quit and I'm leaving." And because his friend here was fingered as a leaker, and the friend didn't deny it. But in any event, how they get the information is that they pretext. It's a controversial practice. And it is, according to the Federal Trade Commission, it involves using false pretenses to get another individual's personal non-public information, like their telephone records, their bank and credit card account numbers, their social security number, and the like. Pretexting is heavily marketed on the web. And so here is how they pretext. Typically, say in the case of a phone company, pretexters call up and they falsely represent themselves as the customer. Since companies rarely require passwords, a pretexter may need no more than a home address, an account number, and a heartfelt plea to get the details of an account. According to the FTC's website, pretexters sell the information to individuals who can range from otherwise legitimate private investigators, financial lenders, potential litigants, and suspicious spouses to those who might attempt to steal assets or fraudulently obtain credit. Pretexting, according to the Federal Trade Commission, is against the law. The FTC and several state attorneys general have brought enforcement actions against pretexters for allegedly violating federal and state laws on fraud, misrepresentation, and unfair competition. One of HP's directors is the president of Verizon, which has filed various actions against pretexters. So HP was apparently, it sounds like, using pretexting in order to gather the information, from their own director's personal phone calls and so forth, to find out who was leaking, and the finger pointed to one particular person, and Newsweek did not name him, but today's New York Times does. And his name is George Keyworth. And since he's a friend of Tom Perkins, Tom Perkins resigned from the Hewlett-Packard board, snapped his briefcase shut, and walked. Well, he's a zillionaire. You know, he's sailing in his, like, almost 300-foot sailboat, one of the biggest around in that class. So your thoughts? Anybody know anything about pretexting? If you are in that business, you don't have to use your real name. If you know about it, I'd like to hear about it. If it's against the law and HP directors used it, clearly there's an issue there. 349-1320-866-626-1320. One of the things we've been talking about throughout today is health care. The Bee has an editorial on if you're illegal or not, that somehow your health treatment would be denied if you're not legal. The prospect that Sacramento County could deny treatment at its primary health public health clinic to patients who are unable to prove their immigration status looms. That possibility matters not just to illegals. Changing the rules would have implications for protecting the public's health and saving taxpayers and the health care system money. If the patient turned away from a clinic, got sicker, and ended up in a hospital, the hospital would be required by law to stabilize the patient, no questions asked about citizenship. The hospital likely would be stuck with the bill. If the patient happened to be a diseased child attending public school, suddenly the whole classroom would be exposed to this illness. So do you want to have clinics deciding whether or not they're going to treat you on the basis of whether or not you are here legally? Think about these new drug-resistant strains of tuberculosis that are showing up. So if somebody's got TB, that you, it's nice. You can say, you know what, stay in your own little corner of the universe and don't get on the bus that I'm on and don't stand on that same street corner that I'm on and don't be in the same office building that I'm in because I don't want to breathe in those tuberculosis molecules or atoms or cooties, whatever they may be. So here you have a push to require that you be legal in order to be treated for your health. Dr. Gene Rogers, a local physician who works for Sacramento County, filed a federal lawsuit challenging the ability of the county to provide care for illegal immigrants. So far, the case has gone nowhere, but it has county attorneys spooked. The county has repeatedly scheduled then canceled hearings that formally could terminate public health services to undocumented immigrants. So that, you know what, that would be a terrible decision if that's what happened. And in talking about appeasers, one of you sent me a really good piece on how the Bush, Roe, Schwarzenegger sort of all have a Nazi connection. And here is Maureen Dowd. You'll see her probably in tomorrow's Sacramento Bee, but she's in today's New York Times. She's talking about a speech that Dickey gave yesterday. And here's what he said. He said, history teaches. Remember now, Rumsfeld gave the speech about appeasers and how he's intimating, if not saying outright, that Democrats are appeasers. Meanwhile, he was an appeaser sent by President Reagan to appease Saddam Hussein and never once mentioned the fact that Saddam Hussein was gassing, using poison gas on people. Never mentioned it at all. Just making nice to Saddam Hussein. So I guess Rumsfeld would know something about being an appeaser. Anyway, here is Dickey talking in his speech yesterday. History teaches, he says, that underestimating the words of evil and ambitious men is a terrible mistake. Bush said that the world failed to heed Lenin and Hitler, and it was essential to pay attention to bin Laden. Maureen Dowd writes, however, too bad the president didn't take time out from clearing brush at the ranch long enough back in August of 2001 to pay attention to an intelligence paper headlined, Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the U.S. Oh, well. The president and his men, she goes on to say, have been trying to get everyone excited by repackaging and giving a new theme song to the same old things. Just as Katie Couric and CBS were trying to get everyone excited by repackaging and giving a new theme song to what turned out to be the same old newscast, just with more legs. Well, you know what? Maybe the theme song here is that you really need a woman to fill a man's shoes. I don't know. In any event, one of you sent me this, that George W. Bush's grandfather helped finance a Nazi party, that Karl Rove's grandfather allegedly helped run the Nazi party and helped build the Birkenau death camp, and that Arnold Schwarzy's Austrian father volunteered for the infamous Nazi SA and became a ranking officer. The Bush family ties to the Nazi Party are well known. This is a piece that was published originally in 2003 by Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I've heard that allegation for a long time. I wonder if there's as much truth to it as the writers think there is. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Our traffic is okay here at 633. We got a Winnetka at Dally in North Sac. There is a three-car crash over there. Watt Avenue and Freedom Park. We have a two-car crash, though no injuries, but blocking the lane. And northbound 99, just south of Broadway, we got a three-car crash. Emergency vehicles and the accident are actually blocking the lane there. Antelope Road at La Tour Drive, we have a two-car crash. Now our weather, 98, 97, 98 for the high tomorrow. We have lows right around 67, 68 tonight, and we're at 91. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. Political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Want to get to the...
So hot today in New York City, that naked guy on the subway was screaming, "Who's crazy now?" Hot. Got him. Hot down in Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney replaced his pacemaker with an ice maker. Wow. Is that hot?
It's So Hot, Christy Brinkley is now dating Ben and Jerry.
Whoa!
It's So Hot today, ladies and gentlemen. George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that. That's what he said. President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Welcome to Los Angeles, where I believe the official sunscreen is now lead, isn't it, pretty much? Oh, my God, this heat. I was sweating like Naomi Campbell trying to hire a maid. It was so hot today. It was so hot in Hollywood today. Brad and Angelina adopted Ben and Jerry. Did you know that? It was so hot in Encino. Michael Jackson actually stopped at a young boy's lemonade stand and just bought the lemonade. You know the worst part about this heat wave across the country is Al Gore walking around going, I told you so. Actually, if Al Gore's movie on global warming is correct, as you know, the ice caps are shrinking. You all know about that. The glaciers are shrinking. The only thing not shrinking, Al Gore, apparently. Have you seen Al?
He's not shrinking.
I tell you, and the heat, it puts people in a bad mood. You know, in fact, coming into work today, people were swearing like President Bush near an open mic. It was unbelievable.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
If you really want freedom, don't cheapen the word by using it to describe potatoes. Yeah. Ohio Representative Bob Ney found time in what must be a hectic schedule to rename French fries Freedom Fries, leading the French to rename American cheese Bob Ney. New rule. If you are the president, you have to have stuff on your desk. You just do. It makes us feel better. It's just... New rule. Let Tony Blair do the talking. No, I say this sympathetically to Mr. President. You don't need to be doing the speechifying. You're like the Clint Eastwood character in a Western, the tough guy who doesn't say much. Tony Blair, he's the gay English character actor. Let him come in and lay the pipe. Plus, he's British. It just sounds smarter.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Get the Ashton Kutcher Demi Moore breakup over now. Let's just pretend we've already printed those issues of Us Weekly and people read them and thrown them away. And while we're at it, let's also pretend we've already heard Joe Lieberman drop out. New rule. In an all-volunteer army, there can be no such thing as a conscientious objector. Marine Stephen Funk says he shouldn't have to go to Iraq because he just joined the Marines to, quote, learn new things and meet new people. That's like joining the Beach Boys and then announcing you're not going to play that stupid surf music. We need Saddam Hussein's head. Stop talking about his DNA. Nobody made a movie called Bring Me the DNA of Alfredo Garcia. Traumatized Iraqis need to see the head on a pole in the center of Baghdad, or as it's now called, the Galleria at Halliburton Square.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Your guilty conscience may force you to vote Democratic. But deep down inside, you secretly long for a cold-hearted Republican to lower taxes, brutalize criminals, and rule you like a king.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on
AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Thirty-nine on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. Are you telling 3 to 5 of your friends every day, or 3 to 5 people, they don't even have to be your friends, that we're here? I hope you are, because that will ensure greater richness and texture in the talk radio environment in Sacramento. Otherwise, you pretty much have conservative talk radio. Preston in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston.
I heard you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I heard you talking about tuberculosis and diseases like that, and I think the scientific term is cooties.
Is it? Oh, thank goodness for that.
And you make such a great point about how, you know, we are kind of in this together, and if one person is ailing with something like that, it's going to affect us if they don't get treatment. And it's kind of ironic that there are many U.S. citizens who are going to Mexico for treatment of different sorts and for more inexpensive treatment. Here in the U.S., it seems...
Well, they're also going to Canada. They're going to Canada if they're near the border, or they're trying to get their meds from Canada. And interestingly enough, the government, which has been turning a blind eye on that little trade, has been cracking down.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, probably at the behest of the big pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, which made out very well on the Medicare drug prescription. All that was fraudulent information that was fed to the voters. And when one actuary who knew the real numbers threatened to tell Congress, he was threatened with losing his job if he did, what it was really going to cost.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of Yes Magazine? Have you ever heard of that one?
Did you once send it to me? Yes Magazine?
I may have.
Otherwise, I'm not too familiar with it.
Well, anyway, I still get it, and their current issue is all on health care, and it's about how universal health care is starting to show up in this country at the local and state level. So it's not a completely hopeless situation.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger here in California just vetoed the possibility. A bill came to him, passed by the legislature, and he is vetoing. He has vetoed it, or he says he hasn't yet, but he has signaled in the San Diego paper that he's planning to veto it, which is really a sad story, because there's a strike here in Sacramento involving all these county workers, and the issue is health care, and it's an issue for 6 or 7 million Californians who have no health care insurance.
Well, that's a real sin that happened, but at least they got it to the point where he was put in a position where he had to act on it and show his true colors. Hopefully his opponent can promise something better.
Well, hopefully, but his opponent is a little bit on the missing in action side. He has not seized the moment, and you have a lot of Californians who think that Arnold is as strong as his movie roles, and he's going to gallop to the rescue, never mind that he can hardly fit on that horse, because he's got those lifts, his elevator shoes might get in the way, and he's wearing so much makeup, he's going to fall right off of that horse.
You know, there is this kind of adoration of toughness in this society. It's strange. All these action adventure movies, I think, are kind of unhealthy mentally.
The people who are doing the action adventure movies are very often not exactly the characters that they portray, but I guess that's another story. Well, Preston, thank you so much for calling.
Sure thing. Good luck with your dental work.
Oh, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll see. I won't be able to talk. I'll be talking. All right. With millions, we're inching into 9/11. And with millions in 9/11 payments. There are people who are here illegally who were caught up in the 9/11 phenomenon in New York and were decimated in the attacks. And these families have been paid a lot of money, millions of dollars in some cases, but the families are here illegally. And they cannot buy green cards. There's no way you can buy a green card, even if you've been awarded all this money for the loss of a loved one in 9/11. And furthermore, one widow has more than $2 million, but walks or rides the bus everywhere, terrified of drawing attention. Another millionaire widow stopped going to 9/11 support groups because she feared that families of police officers and firefighters might betray her. In other words, they are still here illegally. Their loved ones were here illegally. Even though they were here illegally, apparently there were huge payouts made because they were widows and relatives of the deceased. But yet they can't buy a green card. Would you be in favor of making them legal? just because they lost their loved ones in 9/11, and how much more patriotic than that can you get? Even though it wasn't, nobody decided to be patriotic in that way. It just was something that happened. I mean, would you be in favor of letting them be, just like we grant political asylum, would you be in favor of allowing them, these widows, widows of the deceased, decimated by 9/11, would you be in favor of allowing them to be made citizens or at least getting a green card? 349-1320-866-626-1320. And here's the other part of the equation. Officials, it turns out that there were hideous, hideous illnesses that came to the people who worked in 9/11, who went down to do the rescue. They were there is all kinds of information coming out that that there was massive amounts of healthcare problems that have resulted primarily respiratory problems. And what the Bush administration told everybody going down there was that it was safe, everything was fine. In fact, there were all these horrible toxic substances that people were breathing in. Well, to add insult to injury, you have here 5 years now after the World Trade Center towers collapsed in a vortex of dust and ash, government officials have only recently begun to take a role in the care of many of the 40,000 responders and recovery workers who were made sick by toxic materials at Ground Zero. But for many of the ill and those worried about becoming sick, government actions coming from officials whom they see as more concerned about the politics of the moment than the health of those who responded to the emergency are too limited and too late. The delay in assistance, along with a lack of rigorous inquiry into the magnitude of the environmental disaster unleashed that day, is all the more disturbing, they say, as the country faces a future in which such disasters could happen again. Dr. John Howard, who was appointed by the Bush administration to coordinate the federal government's 9/11 health efforts, readily admits that costly delays and missed opportunities may have shattered responders' trust in the government. So they've almost been deliberately slow. It's like what they have done in Iraq, this administration. You're going there. You're potentially giving your life. Or certainly it's a very dangerous situation. They don't give you enough material. They don't give you enough armor, body armor, armored Humvees, etc. So they don't give you enough of the material you need to fight adequately. And then they try to strip you of benefits when you come back. So it's like they give you this huge pitch about how they care about you, but they really don't care about you. And here is an administration that lied once again when they deliberately said that there was no fear about safety issues once the dust had settled, that it was safe, there wasn't any toxicity, people could go back. Well, it was highly toxic. And now people are having massive health problems as a result of it. And guess what? All right, so now you have massive health problems. Don't you think that this administration has a moral responsibility to at least process those claims, process those problems, do something about it? Wouldn't you think that they would have that moral responsibility? Well, they're taking their time. They're not bothering because they don't want an inquiry. They don't want you to know how inept they have been and how little they care about you, how you are just fodder. You're just fodder for the vote. You're just fodder for a war. You're fodder for the cleanup because they were incognizant and they took none of the warnings that they received seriously. They're telling you, they're trying to sell it to you now about terrorism and panicking you, panicking me, in bed with the terrorists, because the whole idea of terrorism is to scare everybody. So the administration is doing the work of terrorists. Oh, and also cutting down on your civil liberties at no extra charge. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid, on this fabulous Wednesday. We got Ad Winnetika. Is that how you say that? And Dally. We have a three-car crash over there. Now, stay clear of that. It's actually blocking that whole lane Winnetika, thank you. And Watt Avenue at Freedom Park, we have a two-car crash there. And Randall Island Road at River Road, we have a collision. Another hit and run, as we are the capital of hit and run. There are injuries involved. 6501 Foyle Avenue, blocking traffic in North Sat. Tonight, low 69. Highs coming up tomorrow, about 97, 98. 89 and back with more Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
The Al Franken. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
A lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7. And then I won't be yours until Monday, 9/11. I'll be off the next couple of days. So you will be in good hands with Air America Radio. So anything that we need to discuss, we have just a few minutes left to discuss it. We've been talking about a lot of things, as usual. We've been talking about pretexting. Anybody who knows about pretexting, because that's what happened at Hewlett-Packard. They found a director, or they thought a director of the board of director member, was leaking to the press. Everybody denied it. And so the chairwoman of the board decided to take it upon herself to do a kind of surveillance or have professionals do it, in which the personal phone calls and so forth were sort of data mined, and they do it using a method called pretexting, which the FTC says is illegal. And this is when someone calls up pretending to be you, pretending to be the customer. And think about it. When you call a phone company, they want to know your address, maybe the last four number of your social, a couple of other things. They don't want to know too much, and this is how people get information, and then they sell it to other people. It's supposed to be illegal, so there's a big brouhaha about the HP board. And Tom Perkins, big venture capitalist in Silicon Valley, once married to romance novelist Danielle Steele, he quit in disgust. And the SEC is looking into all these allegations to find out what is legal, what is illegal. But it's a really juicy, I don't know, to me I find it really juicy. We're gonna use this in the plot of our next novel, if we ever write a novel. We're also talking about 9/11. Oh, I have to throw this in. It's like, I don't think we needed to have to do a study to determine this, but here it is. At USC, University of Second Chances, guess what? They did a study, and here's what they determined. It was a study about celebrities. And here's what they found out in this study. I don't know how much it cost them to do it, but I could have told them. They found out that celebrities have more narcissistic personality traits than the general population. And people with narcissistic tendencies seem to be attracted to the entertainment industry rather than the industry creating narcissists. This is according to a groundbreaking study conducted by researchers Drew Pinsky of the Keck School of Medicine at USC and Mark Young of the USC Marshall School of Business. And so the study, which is going to be published in a journal, the Journal of Research and Personality, is the first systematic empirical scholarly study of celebrity personality, and it was based on a standardized test of narcissistic personality traits administered to 200 celebrities. Narcissists generally crave attention, are overconfident of their abilities. You know, does this apply to Dickie in Washington? Narcissists generally crave attention, are overconfident of their abilities, lack empathy, and can evince erratic behavior. However, they are also well-liked, especially on first meeting, are extroverted, and perform well in public. You know what else I think? I think a lot of them are sociopaths. And I've had friends who are the most charming people in the world and absolutely had no conscience at all. And by the way, the tabs, which are 80% correct and 20% not correct, and you've got to figure out which is the 80 and 20, are reporting that the Bush marriage is in trouble again. That the rumors are circulating that Bush is having an affair with Condi Rice, that those rumors have been circulating for years. Do you think that that's true? Actually, here's how you find out if these stories have any legs whatsoever. If they're signed, there's a reporter's byline. And there are two bylines on this story. That Laura has put her foot down. She doesn't want Dickie traveling with Condi anymore by themselves. Meanwhile, Dickie has blown off Laura. He says he didn't have any more time for counseling because the tabs have reported that they're in marital counseling. They're in couples counseling, that their marriage has some problems. And let's see, what else? One time it was reported a couple years ago that in a slip of the tongue, we wonder if it's a Freudian slip, that Condoleezza Rice said at a Washington dinner party she referred to the president as her husband. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it was reported at the time. It was sort of semi-widely reported at the time. Anderson Cooper, meanwhile, has a secret. Well, besides the fact that I think he's gay, but other than that, or he's been alleged to be purportedly, I don't know, maybe he's not. But he is the son of Gloria Vandenberg, but he has a CIA secret. He has, spent his summers when he was, I guess, at Yale or Harvard or someplace.